welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strauss.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Wait a minute.
Good morning,
there
Adam Carolla.
There we go.
Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Bill O'Brien.
Hello.
Well, let's see what's on tap for today. Joel McHale.
Yay.
Our favorite dreamboat. Joel McHale in with his clips from The Soup. Also, Will Arnett. Will Arnett, one of these guys who, well, he's married to Amy Poehler. I'm not, I guess people know him from Arrested Development. He's done a lot of movies. He's one of these guys where like 3 or 4 years ago, his career could have gone one way or the other, and evidently it's gone in a good way. Because,
it's gone in the other.
This guy's gone the other because he is... starring in a lot of big budget comedies and a great guy, super nice guy. Met him long before he was a big star. So
I don't think I know him. I mean, I know exactly who he is, but I don't, you know, usually when you've been around as long as we have and interviewed as many people as we have, you've met somebody at least once. And I don't think I've ever met this guy.
He was one of these guys that went from wasn't worth interviewing to too good for you in a very short period of time.
Right.
So there's an element of that, but also I think he's an East Coaster. I think him and his wife, Amy Poehler from SNL, are out on the East Coast most of the time, but a really nice guy. Kira Sedgwick is going to be on the show. James Brolin.
Jesus.
Is going to be on the show.
This show.
Sometimes I should pull off better than I prepare for the show.
Yeah, you know.
What, really? She's going to be on the show? Yeah. Jesus, I like her.
Looking forward to it is probably a better response than Holy Christ.
Wow.
Half the guests I mentioned.
Damn, I like
still
her.
Still better than the no ass he did yesterday at this time.
But what about today's most honored guest, Molly?
My dog Molly in to help
Molly?
us make some of
He's licking my foot.
Some of the football picks. So the girls love Molly.
I'll go against Molly.
We love Molly.
Yeah, I think she beat me last year and was maybe two away from Dave, who beat the both of us.
She really understands football.
She evidently. She's a nice, happy dog who, when I told her we're heading out this morning, was in a very good mood about it. Although I wasn't a little early for her because, you know, her schedule is she likes to come down in the morning with me, watch me eat my breakfast, get her little jerky treat, and then head on up to the bedroom and go back to bed to mock me.
Right.
I believe as soon as she hears the front door shut, she's back on her feet again walking around. But there is just nothing worse than seeing somebody go back to bed when you're heading, you know, you're heading toward the door and they're heading back to the bed.
Right.
It's not enough of it. There's not enough made of this. You know, people do that thing sometimes when you're living with someone or you're with somebody and you're brushing your teeth and you wake them up and they get up and they're in a bad mood. You woke me up. They decide to have a glass of water and talk to you for a couple beats. But at a certain point, you're going to haul your ass to work and they're going to haul their ass back to the duvet cover. And they're pissed about it.
And therein is what I think you've referred to our producer as they're at the nummy stage. Mm-hmm. Because going to bed sometimes for me is a drag. You have to go to bed because we have to get up early.
Right.
But going back to bed after you've been awakened, you pull the comforter up over it and you just go,
yes.
Happiest man in the world.
I will tell you, here's how it breaks down for me. When you have to get up early, here are the four stages. I just thought of this.
The four stages of getting up?
I think this will work.
Very
the
nice.
Four stages of misery.
Right.
Best stage is when somebody gets up before you.
Right.
I don't care if you go to bed at midnight and you have to get up at 12:30 to go to work. If somebody gets up at 12:15, you crack a little smile when you hear their alarm in the distance and you hear them get, you know, there's nothing better than that roommate who has a job, who has to get to his job an hour before you do. You always hear that. You just hear that nee, 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 in the background and you hear him go like, oh, Christ. Like in the deep background, and just a little smile will come on your face as you tuck yourself back in and realize you have another hour to sleep.
Right.
So, best case scenario, someone gets up in front of you. Number two, nobody's in bed. You're flying solo. all the way. You just get up, get your ass together, turn your radio on as loud as you want, turn the lights on, make as much noise as you need, brushing your teeth, take care of a little business in the shower, leave the door open. You know, whatever you got to do, there's nobody else to wake up. That's number two. Number three, still worse, is you getting up, but someone's in bed. You leave them behind. It's this warm, cozy nest, literally a nest if you have a down comforter. Literally a nest.
Yeah.
You're in there, you're all cozy, and you never really get settled in like you do in the wee hours. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you climb into bed around midnight, you're all right, you roll around for a while. Then somewhere after about 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I usually have to take a leak and I'm fighting morning wood, but I ride it out anyway. But the sweet spot, somewhere around 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., right when I'm getting up. But if you get up then, you leave someone in bed. And it kind of sucks when you get up and you're just looking at them and they roll over, break wind, and they're out for the count.
Right.
That is the third stage. And then the fourth and the worst possible is that person getting up, getting a drink of water, leveling some kind of complaint.
Right.
Like, hey, do you have the radio so loud?
It's
Yeah, oh, cry me a river, bitch.
Yes, yeah.
Cry me a river.
Either cash the checks or shut the F up.
Right. You're going right back to bed. And it's not like, look, I understand if you're an attorney and you have depositions and the alarm's going to go off in 20 minutes and you were up burning the midnight oil that night. And when you leave, you're not coming home till 8:30 at night.
Right.
And you got a long day of defending horrible people down at the, okay, that person, maybe I give a, all right. Sorry about the alarm or sorry about the radio or the electric toothbrush, but my wife ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Yes.
She's going to get up and go back to bed and get up and go back to bed and go burp the kids and then go back to bed again. And when I had that Deb girlfriend who was a USC sorority girl, used to give me the same thing before I used to hop on my motorcycle and head out in the freezing cold to go install closets with born-again gangbangers in Burbank. And she'd be, could you shut the bathroom door when you brush your... And it'd be like, Christ, baby. You're going right back to bed. I know you woke up. And then they do that thing where they go, you know, when I wake up, sometimes if I get up like that, I can't go back to... Yes, it's called... Look, if it's morning and you wake up and you can't go back to bed, Your Highness, maybe that means it's time to wake up.
Right.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I can't go back to bed and sleep till noon. I have to eat something called breakfast and put on these things with legs called pants.
One at a time.
And leave the apartment. Sometimes seeing a matinee. It's like, look, when you get up and there's nothing to do and you can't go back to bed, well, perhaps that's God's way of saying...
Time to get up.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday morning...
You hear the birds chirp?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like
yesterday morning...
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh. Yesterday morning, I just moved, and I moved from my house in the ghetto to an apartment, which is much smaller, and I'm not used to really living with other people. And so I was very conscious about trying to be quiet because I do get up at, 3:45 or 4. And so I didn't put on my shoes. I put my shoes by the door. I was quiet.
Yeah.
And then just as I was walking down the stairs, this crazy old coos with dyed red hair comes bursting out of her door like she was laying in wait, waiting for me to come
out. Out of another apartment building?
Beneath me. In my apartment
the
building.
The unit beneath me.
Yes. And she comes bursting out. That's bad enough. You're up. It's dark. It's 4:45.
4 a.m.
Well, I'm
up
at 4.
Fuel Hauser now?
4 a.m. It's just the idea that this person would be laying in wait
in the wee hours. And she comes bursting out.
Not the people that
want
to do it. It's not.
And mind you, she did not put on her pants. She had on a T-shirt. She had to be in her mid to late 60s, and she was evil. She was an evil old crone.
She attacked me. What did she say?
And I wasn't prepared. It's dark. It's early. I'm carrying, coffee in my bag and my papers. She's like,
what's with the Jew?
That's what she said. You are waking up the whole building. And then cue the theatrical sound of a neighbor's snore coming out the window. I said, not that guy.
Very nice.
And she goes, well, you're waking me up. And I said, I am so sorry. I don't want to be getting up at 4 either. I'm trying to be as quiet as I can. And then she said, your shoes are too loud. And I said, ma'am, I just put on my shoes the second before I walked out the door. I'm very sorry. Then yesterday, at least 3 hours of mental energy expent thinking what I was going to do with this coos. What am I going to do? I got to get up at 4.
I know.
May I recommend, while this microphone is on, that you do nothing, you stay very pleasant, and maybe buy her a fruit basket.
A muffin basket, but what am I going to do?
In a moment or two, we'll have a chat. But right now, may I suggest we do nothing but try and make the best of friends with all our
fellow men. I feel bad for her, because I wouldn't want an upstairs neighbor that's up at 4, but I'm not trying to clomp around.
You know what? How about your downstairs neighbor wants to have some pity on a neighbor that has to get up at 4?
Yeah.
There's two ways to look at that.
Hardwood floors.
Yeah, a rug. A rug in the living room, but not in the bedroom.
You live there with the new beau.
He'll be moving in on Halloween.
Why'd you move to a smaller place for the boyfriend?
So I could get out of the ghetto. That's all I could afford. I bought it.
And, condo.
Yeah.
Condo.
So I can't get rid of her.
How old is the condo?
It looks like it's from the 50s.
So was
the other place was from
1913. Was it an apartment that was converted into a condo at some point?
That's what I'm guessing. There's 10 units.
Because that's what it feels like to me, right. And the hardwood floors and all that. I mean, I don't know if you can be 25% quieter.
I tried, and it
then,
took me
like,
an extra 10 minutes.
Why should you? And is she just that light a sleeper? And here's the problem. I've dealt with a lot of this in my life where people are saying, well, how do we appease these people?
Yeah.
Or how do we discuss this? Or how do we come to some agreement with these people? That would be fine if they weren't nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
I've had many issues with many neighbors where people make suggestions like, well, why don't you go over there and offer to X, Y, and Z?
Right.
Or why don't you two sit down and discuss a reasonable whatever?
Yeah.
And I say, that is an awesome plan if I was dealing with someone who was sane.
Right.
But I'm dealing with nutty a-holes who think it's a good idea to initiate this sort of dialogue at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Right.
Anyway, thus insane. Plus, you with the shoes off already, I just don't know how much quieter you're going to be.
I know.
She is going to have to get herself some earplugs.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Although you broaching that subject with crazy redheaded coos is not going to be an easy one.
Can we describe her in some other way?
Oh, sorry.
Keep pointing right at me.
Sorry. Sorry. Wait a minute. Matt has something to say. Matt?
Yeah.
What's happening, Matt?
I just got the worst case scenario here. What about when, you know, your wife just has a baby and, you know, they wake up periodically in the middle of the night and you got to wake up at 4:30, 4:45, but somewhere around 2 o'clock is you get a little nudge. Hey, honey, can you go feed the baby? I got to wake up in 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they want you to do it. Well, look, the deal is whoever's going to work
right
gets to sleep.
Yes.
Because
that's fair.
Here's the
thing.
That's
why I vote for single-income families. Not because I think moms should stay home and raise their children, just because it makes dad God.
Whoever, you're putting your batteries on the charger, and they need a nice full charge so you can head into work and make a bunch of money so that the kids can have their baba. That's
right.
The way it should work. I didn't even pretend to ever get involved with the changing of the diapers or the getting up and the whatever. I will buy the diapers. I will buy the ass cream. I will buy the talcum. I'll buy the roof that stays over the head
Absolutely.
So the kid doesn't get wet. And I'm going to provide a lovely carpeted room in which you can change the diapers in.
Right.
That is my plan, but I ain't doing both. And I'll make you this deal. I will gladly change the diapers. You go out, make a crap load of money, keep this whole circus afloat.
That's fair.
Thank you. The more you know. Matt?
Yes.
Does your old lady work?
Yes, she does. Oh. You know, after that, you know, she'd be on maternity leave, so. A couple months off anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to keep her happy so you can get a little something the next night, you know.
I see.
So it's like, my bad.
I wouldn't kill you to chip in.
Matt, what do you do?
Right now.
That's not a good sign.
The reason I said right now is because about a month ago, I used to work construction.
Shocker.
I was an assistant superintendent.
Mm-hmm. We call them glorified goompers, but now out of work?
Babysitters.
Out of work now?
Oh, no. I just, they weren't paying me what I wanted to, and I actually got a phone call from a pool company, and they gave me a pretty sweet deal. So,
how's the headhunter work over at the pool company?
Yeah.
Guy opens phone call, the long beer belch. Who is this?
I'm
Diatomaceous Earth. That's my pool name.
We have an opening for a pool. Am I reached?
We need a human being who can hold a stick with a net on it. Do you think you're up to the challenge?
No. Pool building, I'm their construction superintendent for...
Oh, okay. Building pools. Sorry. So you're running a gunite rig and laying rebar.
Pretty much.
Good times. All right.
Matt, congratulations on the new baby.
That's right. We're all pulling for you.
And you may have to answer this when we come back, or you may feel free to ignore this at all. But is there any real winning scenario? And in the morning, I think I'm kicking ass right now. I'm in the honeymoon stage with a very active young lady. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to work out for the entire month of August because of the TV show versus the radio show. So 15, 16, 20-hour days sometimes.
Right.
So I've decided to get back into it. Well, to get up at 4 is hard enough. To get up at 4 knowing you're going to the gym to be outside when the door opens at 5 so I get a 40-minute workout and then get here has not been as easy to get back into as I thought.
Right.
My girlfriend has at least 2 phones and knows how to use the alarms on my phones, and I have at least 3 little alarm clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they are set from 4 and 4:01 and 4:02 around to 4:07 because there's that many.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, she has made coffee for me, flavored cappuccino stuff, offered me sex while I shave if I want.
You went out the flavorist tea?
Well, yeah.
Rat poison.
So in the morning, because in my marriage, that just was out the window by the first year of morning radio.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to teach her, if we learn a lifestyle together and nap when I nap, we can go out and have a semi-normal life. So in the morning, I'm kicking ass. But what I always wanted was for Gretchen to be like a little jealous. You know, Gretchen always says jealousy is a dumb emotion. We'd go to some appearances and girls that had grown up with me or whatever reason a girl would be overly attracted to a guy that looks like me. They sometimes still are. I grew up watching this at a UNM, Teresa on the river. You guys are so funny. Oh, my God. And they'll get a little too friendly. Nothing from Gretchen. Not a bat of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Amy will kill somebody.
Mm.
And whine all the way home. You like her. I love you more than you love me. That's all I ever wanted.
Right.
Till I got it twice.
Right.
And I was like, hey, shut up.
Yes.
I never met that girl.
Right.
She listens to the radio. She pays your bills.
Yeah, well, most things are that way. Whatever. Grass is always greener kind
of
thing.
On the other side of some chick's back. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that just come out loud?
I'm sorry. Paul Bryan's playing that because Kira Sedgwick is calling in about 3.5 minutes. So we'll take a quick break and be back with the star, the closer. And many, many features.
Yeah.
Kira Sedgwick also got a couple bacon questions for her, too. I smell bacon. Quick break. Back with her.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's Friday, and here's what's coming up on today's show with our program director, Jack Silver.
Holy crap, peeps! Today's show's more loaded than producer Angie after she falls out of a wheelchair! From Arrested Development, Will Arnett, the star of The Closer, Emmy nominee Kira Sedgwick, the host of The Soup, Joel McHale, and Emmy winner James Brolin! Oh man, he's Barry Streisand, right? I love Babs! Peeps! Peeps who need peeps! Are the luckiest peeps in the world! Okay!
Thank you, Jack. Phone number in the studio is 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but we're going to turn the mic over to Kira Sedgwick for just a moment. Kira?
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Morning.
We're doing great. I don't believe we've ever met.
I don't think so either.
Now, this is Danny, Adam's wacky sidekick, and I believe we have met.
I think maybe.
I thought we met in New York a couple of times. I've seen your husband play on many an occasion.
Right.
I'm a big fan of the Bacon Brothers.
That's so nice.
Speaking of the Bacon Brothers, you guys, reading here, got married in 88, so you're coming up on a 20-year anniversary. Almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming either you guys are very much in love, or you're both either gay or lesbian, and you're playing a beard role for each other.
There's a third possibility.
Either way.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. That would be... We'd be pretty talented actors to have pulled this off.
You both are.
Wait, you're Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick.
Yep, I think you could.
We'd be talented actors. There's a shocker. In my thought, there's a third possibility, which I hoped would work. I was married for 17 years till the other day when my wife filed for divorce.
Oh, my God.
And the fact is, after a certain amount of time, you just don't want to be the people that get a divorce. Mm-hmm. You've made it too long. Okay, so things are a little rocky, but what the hell? We've been married 15, 16, 17 years. Let's just go on with it.
Right.
Now, Kevin's sleeping right now, right?
He's in L.A. I don't know if he's sleeping.
Oh, he's sleeping.
He's off to work already.
He's sleeping.
He might be off to work.
Well, if he is awake, he's probably listening to Mark and Brian or Kevin and Bean sure. or somebody like that. So let's speak honestly. Do you ever have that feeling like, hey, I've made it this far? We've made it this far. Maybe in year number three, I would have stuck a fork in this relationship, but we're going on to 20 years. We got to make it. It's like quitting the company before right. you get the gold watch.
Right.
You know, I'm one of those unusually incredibly happy married people.
Oh,
so, you know,
that makes me so happy to hear.
You're not,
breaks
I'm not
my
gonna,
heart.
I'm not going to go there anywhere negative. With
really?
No.
Very happy. Yeah. And what don't we know about Kevin Bacon? What doesn't the public know about him?
That his wife out-earns him?
He's gay!
That he likes to look at photos, family photos of other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a cool, weird idiosyncrasy.
Are we going to talk about the closer, you guys?
We are.
I love the closer.
Can we get on task for just a second?
By the way, congratulations on your Emmy nomination.
Thank you so much.
For the closer.
You mean the closer, the one that's on Monday nights, 9 o'clock, TNT, going into its third season?
That's right. Well, we're just actually finishing our third season. On Monday, it will be our finale, the second part of our two-parter.
I read here that the season premiere was the number one telecast in cable history.
Yeah. It's been a really great year for us. We've added viewers.
Yes.
Unlike most third season shows, we've got a million more viewers this year, and it's been really awesome.
It is very true, it seems, especially in the cable world, but maybe it's just all these reality TV shows. They were so hot just a few seasons ago, and they dwindle. I think what it is people get over the format.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I think people are smarter than that, you know?
Well, with the closer, you're getting to know the characters versus getting an ass full of Donald Trump in season six of whatever.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You really do. You get more invested.
This show and her character are very original, down to the wardrobe. I heard your wardrobe guy interviewed, and it was so interesting because your character wears generally vintage sweaters and flowery skirts.
Uh-huh.
And now a lot of people on the runway are copying this look.
Yeah. Well, really? Oh, my God, are they?
That's what
I've
heard.
You've influenced Paris and Milan.
can I just say that that's possibly the girliest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
I know. Sorry to get girly.
Hey, look at those daisies or something like that. I heard your wardrobe guy interviewed, and it was so fascinating.
I thought it was.
So great. I know. Isn't he genius? He really is amazing.
It's very creative. Every element of the show is very unique.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of freaked out about how much dough you make. I won't be so impolite as to point out the number, but I am on... I think my third reality show that I have written, hosted, and executive produced.
Wow.
And I make exactly, if the number I have in front of me of your salary, I make exactly your agent's commission.
I say it's too much.
That reality shows are sort of like, you know, going the way of all flesh. Aren't they sort of like boring and people really aren't that into them? Maybe you should try.
Not the ones I do.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with Kira Sedgwick, you have to lure her from the film roles over to the television set.
And where would you say, Mr. Carolla, that I need to be
lured
from?
We need to lure you from the gutter to the TV set. So you see, it's a different direction you're both heading from.
Oh, I see. You're right. The agent's commission compared to the gutter and the dead guy I sleep on. You're right. Does sound more pleasant.
Did you guys see The Woodsman? Am I getting the name right, Kira?
Yeah.
What a phenomenal movie and super creepy. Your husband, Kevin Bacon, plays basically a pedophile.
Yeah.
Right. Who falls
getting getting out of jail after 12 years.
Right, yeah. And you guys fall in love.
Uh-huh.
And how was that to work on?
You know, it was really challenging and scary, but I'm really glad we did it. I think it's a really important film about a subject that people don't want to talk about, and yet there are people with these issues everywhere, and, you know, we want to pretend they don't exist. And, you know, I think part of what we like to do as actors is sort of shed a little light on, you know, different parts of humanity that people may not want to deal with, but that are absolutely, you know, part of our society.
As a celebrity, yeah, instead of an actor, but as a celebrity and you want to shine a light on a cause, mm-hmm, wouldn't it be better to be Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon and go out and shine some light on the dirty deeds that are pedophiles who are lurking everywhere on the internet rather than, and I don't doubt your veracity, but when you say to us, in all honesty, I'm really glad we did it. If you really think about it, are you really glad you made the choice? Hey, Kev, I think you should play this pedophile in this movie. It's a good move.
Absolutely.
Wow. Hey, a tougher girl than I am.
Hey,
It was a tough movie. Yeah.
I've said if I had a nickel for every time I said Kira Sedgwick is a much tougher gal than Danny Bonaducci, I would be a rich man right now.
You are a rich man, you bastard.
Well, Kevin's got some range. I never really thought about it. I just think of him as an actor who acts in a ton of movies, and I never really think of him as the guy from Quicksilver who then 20 years later plays the scary pedophile guy. And or the guy from Footloose.
No, he's amazing.
Plays the guy in the river.
Have you guys seen Death Sentence? It's out right now in theaters.
No, I have not.
He's amazing, and it's an amazing movie.
So Death Sentence is out. The Game Plan, that's you and The Rock. You want to talk about a fine thespian.
Hey, by the way, have you seen The Rock's movies?
I know, he's quite
great.
Charming.
He's great. I saw that movie, The Rundown.
Yes, he was very good in that.
He was great in that, and it was a good movie.
What's The Game Plan about?
The Game Plan is a sort of a family film, Disney family film, and I play The Rock's agent. He's a NFL quarterback.
Right.
And it's about this guy who's this, you know, sort of incredibly successful, narcissistic, self-centered, you know, man about town football player in Boston.
So The Rock plays himself.
Playing for basically, you know, like New York, you know, the Patriots, you know, not the New York Giants, the Patriots, and, you know, esque kind of a football team. And his little girl knocks on his door. This little girl knocks on his door and basically says, you know, I'm your daughter, and kind of turns his whole life upside down. It's about his, you know, learning to let a little girl into his life, and, you know, and I'm sort of his agent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the music is starting.
Mm, that's just in your head, baby. We don't hear it.
Yeah.
That's the shut up music.
I will see that movie.
You're the Tom Cruise to his Cuba Gooding Jr.
It's going
to
be great. Exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
But there's a little girl in, but I guess Jerry Maguire had a little kid.
But the thing is that between the incredibly talented, now you are a Golden Globe winner, or you've been nominated?
I'm a Golden Globe winner.
Okay, so you're talking the real full-on deal here with a guy I find extraordinarily charming. I happen to think this movie will totally... I'll go see this movie for sure. Yeah. But
it's a Disney movie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a family-friendly movie.
Like I said, that was the first thing I said. You weren't listening.
It wasn't that I wasn't listening. I was tuned out. And that's very different. Two very different things.
Slightly different.
Yes. Well, Kira, we'll be watching you not only on The Closer, and we'll also see you in The Game Plan, which is coming to theater September 28th. Hey, come in and see us in person. I'm guessing you're out on the East Coast right now?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good luck at the Emmys.
Tell Kevin to come on in as well. Yes, and good luck at the Emmys.
Thanks so much.
And congratulations on the incredible success. I didn't know that you could even do that well.
Oh, The Closer has completely changed cable. All these new shows like Damages and Holly Hunter's got a new show, they're all because
I knew they were bringing
in
big stars, but I thought it was because people really wanted to work. I had no idea that this many people.
No, she's not there for the art, she's there for the cash.
Smart move.
Thank you so much, you guys.
All right, Kara. Good to speak to you.
Thanks.
we need to take Keira Sedgwick.
Hey, you know, yeah. we have
Sweetest of Days Long.
You know Sexceptions, where you get a movie star, yeah. and if you ever run yeah. into them? I had to quit that because I run into them almost every day, so right. people stop thinking it was funny. But that is a couple.
You mean you get to...
Have you ever done that? Like, you had a girlfriend, she said, if you ran into... Mine was a long time ago. Mine was Gina Davis.
You have the option of sleeping with Gina Davis.
You run into Gina right. Davis, okay. she'll do it with you. It's okay with Gretchen.
Right.
And Gretchen's was Matthew Modine, interestingly enough. They ended up
cute.
Doing the biggest flop ever together. But we re-upped it recently.
Yeah.
And Keira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon are on the list. The only couple on our sexception list.
You mean you and Amy?
You and Amy.
Well, to be honest, I was kind of bored and lonely, so I was playing for me. And I just played for an imaginary girl.
Oh, my God.
Wow, solitaire sexception.
Are you going to play the music again?
So I put Kevin
Solisection. On Solisection.
Evander wow. Holyfield's still on the list, Bad even time. Though he's getting old.
I guess you could have a list of people that you would think about while pleasuring yourself other than your girlfriend.
Yes. All right.
It's a witch bone. That's all there is to it.
Hug my dog, Molly, and we're both going to take a shower.
Take a shower?
We need to take a break. James Brolin.
Is he on your sexception list, Adam?
Not on my list, but a nice boy.
Be honest.
He isn't, but his beard is. I love his beard.
Barbara?
What's her name?
Good times.
Thanks,
we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Here are some celebrities that are not celebrating a birthday today. It's not Judge Reinhold's birthday. Rush Hour's Chris Tucker won't be celebrating a birthday today either. And there'll be no birthday cake for the Pretenders' Chrissy Hynde. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I said let's take 6 months off of this bit because we just couldn't get it right. You know, I said it'd be really funny to do celebrities who aren't celebrating a birthday as
right.
opposed to all those morning shows that do the who's celebrating a birthday.
Yeah, they play the song.
We've tried it three times, or at least three times, and each time when we've mentioned just random celebrities who yeah. aren't celebrating a birthday, there's always been one who is celebrating that birthday. Chrissy Hynde is, she's 56 today.
Why didn't we look it up?
I just said, that's what I said. Just, all you have to do is pick three celebrities who aren't celebrating a birthday. We've done it a bunch of times. Every time there's at least one whose birthday it is. I'm at my wit's
end. What are the chances?
Do you want to go back to Employee of the Month?
Well, that's why I win. That's why I win every single month. Because I wouldn't make this kind of mistake.
It's true.
I would pick three celebrities. I would check on the internet. I'd Google them. I'd make sure it wasn't their birthday. And then that would be the joke. But it's always one of them. It's Chrissy Hynde. I love the Pretenders. God bless her. I love that band. But it's her birthday.
The internet is, it's on that box where they keep the porn. I don't know, you don't like to use it that much.
I have looked at the magic box where they hide the porn and seen that there's other things on there as well.
No.
Sometimes there's softcore porn as well.
Right.
I have went to one of those places where they hide the books.
The library.
Because I heard they also have the boxes where they hide the porn in the magic box there. But when I went there, because, you know, my thing is like, who's, you know, I was torn.
Yeah.
Because there's someone's like, hey, there's this big box where they hide the books. They called the
library.
And I'm like, well, so what do they do? Is that like an adult timeout? Like when they punish adults, you have to go get into the box where the books are? And they say, no, people go there and hang out. And I think, not this dude, dude, bro.
Yeah, people go there voluntarily. They're not sentenced.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to. So somebody said, now I'm at a crossroads because somebody said, you know the magic box where the porn is in?
Right.
I said, yeah. They said, that's within the box of the books.
Yeah, they do have computers in libraries now.
So now I go in there to look at the magic computer porn box within the place where they keep the books, the, what's it
Library.
Called?
Library.
And I'm like, okay, now, Ace, you got to make it in and out of here without seeing a book. You know,
yeah.
Put the blinders on,
difficult.
Run in, fire up the porn box, look at the porn, discreet masturbation,
yeah.
And then right back out without seeing a book. Well, it turns out you can't get the magic porn box fired up to see the pictures of that. They just have other stuff in there. So a total bust and a waste of an afternoon.
Sorry.
James Brolin. Yeah. I think I just chucked. There we go. I have his card. James Brolin on the VIP line. James?
Yes, sir.
Great to speak to you.
Thank you. What did I barge in on the box?
A running joke, James, you'd have to just be here at the start to know.
Yeah, Adam's not the most tech savvy, so he thinks of a computer as a box with porn.
Oh,
and I
interesting.
And I never can remember the name of the place where they keep the books
that they lend out.
That's the library. Yes.
Yeah. Now the library comes to your lap, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
If you have a credit card,
quite literally. James, I've been a fan of yours for many years, and have watched one of the best looking, certainly best looking bearded men in Hollywood for at least the last 30 years. Going all the way back. Well, at least for me, I remember watching you on Hotel.
Yeah.
I think it was back in the 80s and even before then. But James has got a new movie out. It's called The Hunting Party. And I'm very glad to tell everyone that I watch Roper and Ebert or whatever the name of the show is these days religiously every Sunday. Oh, they gave it a very glowing review. Big thumbs up last weekend. Richard Gere's in this as well as Terrence Howard.
The spots look fantastic.
They look good, but you never know. But I got these great reviews, and they really went into it and said these kinds of movies are made quite a bit, and oftentimes they don't work, but this one really works.
It's a story of wartime journalists in search of a scoop. Yes, James?
That's right, yeah. And as a matter of fact, I love the slug line. It says, how do you find the world's most wanted war criminal? And then it says, look for them.
Right.
And why doesn't the CIA find, it's built on the theory that there were a lot of deals made at the end of the war and at the beginning of these wars. And these guys are running free around the hills right now, being protected by... in a country atmosphere right outside of town by friends and people who fear them.
Well, I've seen nothing but the commercial, so I can't be giving anything away, but you're playing wartime journalist, but you decide, one of you decides, or at least the question has risen, hey, why don't we catch this major war criminal?
Well, it's a matter of a couple of guys down on their luck, and it becomes a buddy film, and it's kind of their only way to get anything done or make a sale. They've been fired by the network.
Now, I believe the movie is based on a story.
It's based on the truth, and actually the guys that went through it are in the film as reporters.
Oh, really?
Right, so it was something, but wasn't it an article for Vanity Fair or something like that?
Yeah, one of them actually originally, after they had gone through this, wrote an article for Vanity Fair, and I don't know if it was Vanity Fair, but I know that nobody wanted to print this article at first, and it got printed, and then it got the notice of I think Harvey Weinstein and Miramax or Weinstein Films, and gave it to Rich, to the director who wrote it up as a script.
Well, it's in theaters today, and we were saying earlier, right up our alley in terms of buddy adventure, but based on some truth, or at least possibly all truth. And they're not going after a Bin Laden type, by the way.
No.
They're going after one of these Chechenian ethnic cleansing
types. The guy
types.
Looks just like the guy, too. I forget who it is that...
Slovan, blah, 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 blah.
Slobodan Milosevic.
Yeah, the actor looks just like him. He's a very good actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. And so we're talking about The Hunting Party. We're talking with James Brolin. I just want to get this out. It's coming out in theaters today. So now there's that plug like a few times. So can I just mention Westworld once or twice?
Okay.
Dude, when I start dating a new girl, there are certain tests they have to pass, starting with STDs and then moving on to what's a good movie and what isn't.
Yeah.
And Westworld is one of the top of my list. I throw in Westworld just all casually. And if they don't say, hey, that was like one of the best movies, then I know we don't have a future together. If they don't like Westworld, but Danny, they can go.
You date
and you go back to the box at the library.
Right? Yes. You date 22-year-olds.
Well,
oh, what's the chance they're going to go, I'm a huge Yul Brynner fan. No. I love Yul. Right.
This current 22-year-old.
Kenny Nye is my fave.
Brolin, you know, that old white-haired guy.
Brolin.
It's not the particular star. It's Westworld. It's friggin' timeless, man.
Yeah.
You could, I don't know one guy that you could, they could come from another planet but just have guy-like qualities.
Yes.
And you plug in Westworld and you'd go, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Well, perhaps we should all rent it on Laserdisc and watch it this evening.
Okay, if you weren't bigger than me in a boxer, I would just come over there and kick your ass right
did
now.
You guys, do you guys think James Brolin
Plus,
would...
Plus, I'm breaking up with you.
No, don't break up. Let me. Mm. You guys are both pretty. Do you think that James Brolin would have made a good 007?
Yes.
I think so, too. And is it lore that you actually auditioned for the role?
Well, you know, when Roger Moore, after doing six pictures, said, I quit. I'm leaving. I've done enough. And so they're frantically looking around for who's the next guy. And they were afraid of choosing an American, but I went over there and I tested and I thought I had the role. Picked out a department, was working with the stunt guys and went back to L.A. to get my stuff.
Right.
I was going to be gone for a year. And Roger Moore stepped back in and says, you know, I'll do one more.
Because he was threatened by the likes of James Brolin.
That's right. Didn't want a Yank taking the role. Brolin, very debonair, I must say.
Well, it would have been fun, wouldn't it?
And had a nice, I must say, a lovely renaissance to your career. And I don't mean that like you ever went away. But this is a pretty good role and a pretty good film. And you've had a few of them as of late. And that's kind of cool because a few years ago, you weren't doing these kinds of roles.
That's true. Although, you know, I disappeared and did a syndicated television series, which was in 37 countries.
Hotel?
Called Pensacola.
Pensacola, yes. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't exactly, out of work.
No, but syndicated TV is not exactly like working in between Richard Gere and Terrence Howard in a really cool movie.
It is if you're me.
Although I was, you know, I was busy for a couple of years, but nobody knew it.
Right. No, I saw the show.
Yeah.
He was the fighter squadron out of Pensacola, yes?
Right.
Don't tell me. I follow your career everywhere.
Oh, hey, man.
I know where you are right now. I just have to check my tracking system that's inside my car.
James, are you going on 10 years married to Barbara Streisand?
10 years.
Your anniversary must be upcoming.
Yeah, it'll be the 10th. The 9th actually was July 1st.
I must say, James, you're a better man than I, because if I was married to Babs, I would not leave the house. I would make myself a nest of 20s. I would make a big pile of money, and I would just lay in it, and I would see. And when she would come home, she'd go, what are you doing? I'd go, seeing how fat I can get.
What do you think I'm doing?
It's exactly what I'd do. I would plant myself in Malibu. I'd make a huge pile of 20s. I would dive in them like kids diving into leaves,
right,
throwing them up over my head. And I would just lie there with some kind of Haagen-Dazs drip.
It'll look like a bird's nest.
That's right. 20s. Never. I would never shave again. I'd never get another haircut. I'd just lie there in a huge pile of money laughing.
Occasionally, though, you might ask her to sing to you.
Oh.
She never does.
Does she?
No,
never?
Unless she's up on pushed up on stage, she never sings.
What about, like, happy birthday?
Never heard that out of her yet. Maybe this year.
Well, you got to throw some money
out. That'll happen, though. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the minute we step out the door, have you ever noticed that Corolla's not smart or funny?
Mm-hmm.
Just refuses to do it.
No,
second we're out the door.
As one of these obsessive Barbara Streisand fans who, of course, you know, are everywhere, you read that she has a stage fright. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. She never intended to be a singer. She only interviewed once as a singer in order to get an acting role. She started out pretty early as an actress.
I like people that are torn. I really do. What I hate is someone who can't sing who needs to be on stage every second.
Yeah.
What I like is someone who has amazing gifted pipes and who is torn about being on stage.
I know. It is very interesting.
I like that. Hey, James, we got to take a break. I will be at the theaters this weekend watching The Hunting Party.
Thank you. I do think it's an enjoyable picture.
I gotta say, it was reviewed last week. Like I said, Ebert and Roper, whatever the show is that I watch every week but don't know the name of because they have different people in every week. Two big thumbs up, and they said it was based on a true story and a great adventure. That's going to get me to the theater. James, come see us in person sometime.
Okay, thanks.
And say hi to your son for me.
We'll do. He's on his way to Toronto to the festival. today with two pictures of his own.
Oh, Jesus. When he's not racing cars, he's walking down red carpets. What a life.
It'll be pretty easy to get sick of your family.
Thank you. I know.
All right, I'll be the super rich and famous wife. I'll be the really talented handsome husband.
Know.
And I'll be the kid with two movies in Toronto. Hey, eat me. I'll be the disc jockey.
Thanksgiving at the Brolin House. James, good to speak to you.
All right.
See you, man.
Take care. The hunting party out today. Seriously, really interesting and cool reviews. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news. T?
What is going on with the DeBarge brothers and... Have you heard celebrities rapping on the new MTV show?
Yes, I have.
It's delightful.
Yes, it is. Back with that next.
Coming up, we'll get a preview of Ease the Soup with Joel McHale.
We got a butt-naked hoe running around this house.
Butt-naked perpetrating hoe.
The team will make their NFL picks for this weekend with a little help from football handicapper Wayne Allen Root and Adam's dog, Molly. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. All right, T.
Yes.
Time for the news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
One night in jail, 24 hours. That concludes the Duke lacrosse rape case for Mike Nifong. He will be checking in today. Expected to stay 24 hours. And this is for criminal contempt. Should be showing up there this morning anytime now. He was found guilty of breaking more than 25 rules of professional conduct while investigating an exotic dancer's allegations that she was raped by three players at an off-campus party back in 2006. Those allegations, of course, were dropped when DNA evidence that Nifong allegedly hid surfaced. And as well as being disbarred, he will serve a day.
Mm. And really what he did, which is despicable, is he took a segment of society, namely the black folk who live out there, and he stirred them up.
Right.
He chucked a rock into the black beehive and got them all buzzing around. And that stuff, it's really nefarious stuff because it affects a culture. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't, the bees don't settle down for a while. I know that sounds insulting. 10 years from now, half the young black folks in that area will just remember that some black chick got raped by a bunch of white guys.
Right. They won't care that it turns out they didn't do it, that the prosecutor was hiding stuff. They won't care at all.
And there was so much evidence. I mean, one of the guys that they were making a case against, they had like a photo of him at an ATM during the time that they said he was raping. And it was like, there's some real hardcore conclusive evidence. He wasn't there and he wasn't interested in seeing any of that. He's just a politician that wanted to get reelected.
Well, the stripper seemed pretty clearly emotionally disturbed, and so her testimony seemed less than credible.
Look, she was damaged goods. Here's the problem. When you choose a career of being a stripper, and I don't mean working at a go-go bar. I mean going to parties with 30 guys and doing the simulated lesbian act on the floor with the 30 guys standing around with their cell phone cameras. That's somebody who was either molested or has some sort of emotional condition that requires a doctor's help, for the most part.
For the most part.
And so those people have a skewed sense of reality. They think they were raped wherever they went because stepdaddy raped them many, many years ago. And thus, it's hard to tell what's consensual or what isn't, or if it even happened at all. That's why stories like the Kobe Bryant situation, it's tough to figure out what the truth is. When you...
Not for me on that one.
Well, in her... It's tough to figure out.
Tawana Brawley?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
It's tough to figure out what the truth is in the mind of the person.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, when somebody has been raped or sexually abused, every physical encounter becomes rape or sexual abuse when to the person, the other person, the guy on the business end of the schmeckle, he didn't know it at all.
Right.
I've talked to, when I did Loveline, I used to talk to 1,000, probably over 10 years, talked to 1,000 women who said they were raped. And I said, what happened? And they said, I was at a party. I passed out. We were all sleeping in the living room. I felt this hand on my thigh. I was frozen. I couldn't react. And the next thing you know, I was raped. And we'd say, you're in a group of people? Yes. Why didn't you just cry out? I couldn't. I was paralyzed. Now I want to know whether to go to the cops or not. And I was like, do you think the guy who did this thinks he raped you? Because I think he just thought he got pretty lucky with some chick that was sleeping next to him. No, no, it was rape. Well, whenever you then scratch around a little bit, you realize something in their past led them
to this. She's prosecuting someone else.
That is a very valid point. All right. Well, anyway, let's hope this guy gets raped in jail in just the short time he's there.
Well, he's got 24 hours. We'll see what
happens.
That
can happen.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, have you heard what's going on with the DeBarge family?
Hold on. That would be my policy.
Yeah.
I would say, look, I'm going to give you either 5 years in jail or one day in jail.
Yeah.
But you get raped in that one day.
What would you take?
One day.
I'd rather take the one day.
I didn't even have to think about it.
Oof.
I've done 30 days in rehab in basically a resort that just failed to have a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And with wealthy, well-to-do, clean, nice people. And 30 days in that environment sucked butt. Mm. All I need to do is tough it out. Tough out something that I think Alex does on a daily basis, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of girls I know not only do, but like.
Alex of Lynn and Alex.
Yeah, my two new best friends who spent the whole night at my house last night.
Lynn, he's gay!
Lynn right. means your bottom, by the way.
Oh, man, okay, so Lynn does it mm-hmm. voluntarily. You do that compared to 5 years in the joint?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You give me 20 minutes of hard time and then let me the hell out.
All right. All right.
Wow, these are difficult, difficult times.
Now, so far, my decisions have been easy today.
Now, DeBarge. Two of the DeBarge brothers are in prison and hopefully not being had by their cellies. First of all, you probably heard that L. DeBarge went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Rhythm of the Night song.
Sure.
I am the god of hellfire.
That's great,
and I bring you fire.
Okay, well, L. DeBarge was arrested on August 26th on suspicion of domestic violence.
Mm.
The DA didn't charge him, but he's still being held because he had a bunch of outstanding warrants for things like vandalism, drugs, driving with a suspended license. Okay, so he's still in the slammer. Meanwhile,
Domestic violence, though.
Domestic violence. He was not charged with that, but he was arrested for that originally. And when they got him, they found that he had all these outstanding warrants.
Mm.
So now there's another DeBarge brother.
That's L. Is it L period DeBarge?
His name is E.L.
It's just E.L.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like El Cabong.
Yes.
I love El Cabong.
El Cabong used to hit people with his guitar.
Just groove on the side for a second.
And this is.
Yeah, let's just hold on a second.
Come on.
You can't be in a bad mood and listen to this song.
Can't do it. I'm doing my 20 minutes of hard time.
Oh, during your...
Right now.
Like this?
Mm-hmm.
I might actually give the guy some flowers afterwards on my way out the door. A box of chocolates.
When he debarges in.
Yeah.
DeBarge, dislarge, whatever he's got to do.
This is a good song.
Just fair enough. Right. Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not very bright for Jonathan Arthur DeBarge, better known as Chico.
Mm-hmm.
Now, TMZ is reporting that this DeBarge brother was arrested last week for having illegal drugs and cash in his car. This is his smash hit, Talk to Me. Mm-hmm. Now, he was not in the group DeBarge.
Mm-hmm.
It was on his own. His four older siblings were in DeBarge.
Ah.
He had a solo career.
Didn't one of them marry a Jackson or something at some point?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I feel like Janet
happened.
Jackson
was with one of them.
Was with one of them.
Yeah.
I think you might
maybe
be right.
It was L.
Yeah, could have been. Well, last Thursday night, Chico and some girl were driving on a Los Angeles highway, and then an officer saw them stop in a turn lane and switch seats. The cop pulled them over and found illegal drugs and cash. Busted Chico. He's being held on $30,000 bail.
I just find the idea of someone named Chico getting busted almost intolerable. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it.
I've decided.
I bet he's the only one ever.
Yeah, it's never happened. Chico, Angel, no.
His name is
happened.
Jonathan Arthur, but I think Chico's
goes by Chico.
Yeah.
How come I can never remember Super Whitey's name?
Oh.
Oh, Graham Wellington.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
I mentioned this at home. Amy's got it. I mentioned it on the street. Everybody's got it. Oh, you mean Graham Wellington. I can never remember. You know, our super white guy. Everybody remembers Graham Wellington but me.
And, oh, that's a name that would get busted or wouldn't get busted. Yes.
That's a name that wouldn't get busted.
Yes.
Chico, not a Chico's in the joint.
Maybe a white, maybe a white collar Graham.
Although
my name is Juan Hernandez.
The name Graham might have something to do with it.
Let's listen to some other delightful music.
I never heard this song.
I don't think anyone did, frankly. I'm not sure his solo career was that successful.
Mm-hmm.
He had another love song called Superman Lover, spelled S-O-O-P.
Of course it was.
Superman.
Yeah.
Okay, how about some other music? This from MTV show Celebrity Rap Superstar. They take celebrities and they coach them and then they rap. Now, you guys know who Shar Jackson is?
The psychic that says, is there a TA in her name?
She's a K-Fed's ex?
Yes, K-Fed's ex throws down Eminem's My Name Is. Internet blogger Perez Hilton.
Oh. Yes.
He's
I am the god of hellfire.
Doesn't sound like rapping, is he?
Yo, pump your fist in the air.
He's doing Jesus walks.
We're at war. Walk with me. With me. You know what the Midwest is gonna get reckless. We're restless. Might snatch your necklace and neck piece. Might jack your Lexus. Someone tell these who Perez H's. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This top floor, the view alone will leave you breathless.
I kinda like him too.
Trying to catch it.
Yeah.
Kinda hard getting choked by detectives. Yeah, yeah. You know the method. They be asking us questions. Harassing and arrest. Saying, we pieces of
last
breakfast.
Huh? Last celebrity rapper. You like him? You thought Perez was good?
Well, you know what? He put out.
He put it, yeah, he brought it, as we say around this show.
Same with Shar, I thought. But
yeah.
How will
but she only brought it for a minute. She didn't keep it.
She didn't keep it. How will a rocker do? Former Skid Row lead singer Sebastian Bach throws down Tupac's California Love.
California, California. What you wanna do? That's a touch of a like yell in your desk. A track hit your eardrum like a watch in the chest. Like a mess for your chimney in the city of sex. We in that star shot stage where the bomb ass heavy. A stage where you never find a dance floor empty. A dance beat on the mission for that greedy lean. Money making machine, serving by me. I've been in the game for 20 years making rock tunes.
Man. Sounds like Sam Kennison doing it.
A little bit.
Yeah, here's the whole thing about, it's like rap is sort of like country. If you don't have that twang, it's going to be tough to pull off a lot of these songs. If you don't have that urban twang, it's going to be tough. But I mean, Shar Jackson has it, and Shar Jackson's like, hey, y'all, everyone on your feet. And we're like, wow, she's an awesome rapper. It's just because she sounded black when she said, hey, y'all, get up on your feet, right? I mean, let's listen. Go find Shar for a second, because it was funny, like.
Yeah, get your hands up.
Oh, she's awesome.
Sing along.
Like, hold on a second.
I want to get my hands
just
up.
Goes, she just goes. Yeah, and we're like, wow, she's the best.
She's the boss.
But she's also really committing. She's not shy.
I'm just saying.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
All I'm saying is when Shar Jackson answers the phone in her apartment, she's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what she sounds like.
Although it should be pointed out that My Name Is originally recorded by Whitey Eminem.
True. Surrounded by black men and then copied their sound when he laid his thing down. My point is whether you're white or black, that is the game. I mean, rap. She says, yeah, everyone get up, and we're all like, oh, she's definitely the best.
Yeah. But Sebastian is so, you saw me looking through my phone just then, under family photos, which I can't find right now, there's a picture of Isabella and Sebastian. He's like a really close friend. He's been really nice to Isabella. And he is the most surfed out dude ever. And talking to him is really difficult. He's like, hey, how are you, Sebastian? Yeah, what's up, dude? I mean, that's what it's like talking to Sebastian Bach. And when he started to rap, I went, well, this is just going to suck. He's going to do the whole, I mean, he's Spicoli while screaming when you talk to him. And then I thought he brought it. I thought when he got into it, he's just got that hair and that look. And so you're never going to give him the respect. But I thought he did all right.
He brought it. Yeah. He brought it like a short guy who hustles really hard on hardwood, but didn't have the natural height that you'd want an NBA player.
Can't you go with a short guy that does something I can do?
What about celebrity rapping? Have you been asked to be on this show?
Actually, believe it or not, this is one of the few I have not been asked to do. This is one of the few B-list celebrity shows
would
I've
you
not
do
been
it?
Asked. Hell yes, I'd do it. With these pipes, this I would do. Are you kidding?
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. I like nicotine butts and I cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny.
When I see a pack of smokes and Michael Dokes, I ran out of rhymes.
Oh, that's not that good.
But it would be funny if you changed I like big butts to like nicotine butts
that
and smoke through the whole thing. All right.
Yeah.
T, what else you got, baby girl?
Do we have time? I've got one more
why
story.
Not?
Okay.
I'd do What's Up by Biggie and change it to Washed Up.
How's that
I think
go?
That'd work out better. I don't know the song that well, but I would do something like, I was washed up by the time I was 14. Now I be dazzled because I'm a big queen. Stuff like that.
That's
you know?
Really good.
Thank you.
Okay, well, a quick...
These ain't bad pipes for rapping.
No. Quick story from the world of health. Everybody listen up.
Okay, these are bad pipes for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Listen up, because this is going to affect you. I was shocked when I read this morning. A 53-year-old man went on the Today Show to talk about a very unusual health condition, but it could affect any of us. He was having terrible lung problems, was losing lung capacity. His lungs were being damaged. He couldn't figure out what was going on. Here's what happened.
And after about a year of CAT scans and biopsies and steroids, they sent me to this good lady here, and she went through a very lengthy interview with me. Right at the end of the interview, she said, I've got to ask this question. It's going to seem weird, but do you ever eat microwave buttered flavored popcorn? And I mean, it was like lights went off, a marching band started to play. I said, how did you know to ask that? I am microwave popcorn. I eat 2 bags of it a day, every day.
Wow, you went about talking about life in the fast lane.
2 bags.
2 bags. Listen, Orville. He fired up the microwave popcorn.
He inhaled the steam from the bag.
And that is infected his bronchial tubes or something.
Yeah.
I think they say it was the butter or the imitation butter flavoring in the steam or aerosol form that he inhaled that screwed up his lungs.
Popcorn lung, it's called. And previously it had only been diagnosed. Factory workers had been diagnosed with it because they test the microwave popcorn, and they were inhaling fumes all day. But this is the first civilian, non-popcorn factory worker to get popcorn lung.
My grandfather went the same way.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
oh,
did
wow.
He worked in a popcorn mine.
He worked
awkward.
For many years in a popcorn mine. Wow. Died of popcorn.
Because, you know, it's weird. My grandfather worked in a coal mine and died of black lung.
Yeah.
But you hear about that every day.
Yeah.
But, and I don't mean to get over sympathetic with Adam's plight, but you never hear about the popcorn miners.
It's easy to make light, but it's not funny.
It's not that easy to make light. The calories are, you know, that butter flavoring is very difficult to make light.
Sometimes when we are out of butter flavoring, we tell Grandpa to hock a loogie on her popcorn so we can enjoy the buttery riches. Move on, T.
I'm so sorry. So even his mucus was buttery. Wow.
Is that buttery?
I'm so sorry.
We buried him in one of those dispensers with the pump top on it.
Yes. I'm sure that's how I would have wanted it.
That's how he would have wanted to go.
Well, I'll dedicate this to Grandpa Carolla, who died of popcorn lung. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. UCNN.
Before we buried him in the pump dispenser, my grandmother said, he always said 2 pumps means I love you.
Oh.
I vomited. Then I cried. Then I vomited again.
Both vomit and cry them both.
I swear to Christ, my grandmother, you want to talk about vomiting after Grandpa died.
Uh-oh.
I've told the story before. I'm telling it again. my grandmother, who's fairly open about her sexuality. Perhaps.
Now, who else has got some stories?
Perhaps too open. After about a week after my grandfather died, was very distraught about it. She missed him very much. And I went over to the house, and she said, you know, the problem, she was fighting back the tears. They were together for about 45 years. She said, everywhere I look in the house, something reminds me of him. I look in the closet, I see his overcoat, the thing about him. I go into the office, I see the typewriter. I see his typewriter where he used to type. I think of him. I open the medicine cabinet. I see the water-soluble lubrication. So I start to cry. See the water-soluble lube, and I think of him. And I was like, really? Couldn't it just stop at the typewriter? Huh?
Wow.
I had to go into the bathroom. Oh, by the way, I get it. The house is 1,100 square feet and all this crap's in it.
Yeah.
I got that part.
Yeah.
I got that. How about you see a picture and it reminds you of him?
Now, what?
No one ever sees a picture of the person that reminds you of them.
Right.
It's like, I saw a shoe, I saw his overcoat. How about the picture of the guy's big puss over there in the glossy frame?
That never reminds me of the guy.
That doesn't remind you of him?
Not as much as the lube.
Not the lube? The lube's got to remind you of him, huh?
Nope. Kevin, there's certain things that don't remind you of people, and there's certain things that won't. And a picture of their actual face, you're too used to. Like, if I saw a leather belt, I'd go, Dad.
I would,
right.
If someone was smacking you with it,
Dad.
And you know what? If I saw a therapist, I'd go, Dad.
Yeah, then stepmom. All right, we will take ourselves a break. We're going to do ourselves some NFL picks. That's why.
Oh, I'm ready.
My good dog, Molly, is here, who I believe beat me last year. We have a NFL handicapper, Wayne Root, who's... well, he does it for a living, so he must be good. He's going to come in, give us a hand, and we'll pick our games, we'll do our gambling, we'll explain it all next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The men who play it make it so.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show's NFL Picks. With gridiron experts Danny Bonaducci, Teresa Strasser, and Adam's dog, Molly.
Football is a rough game. And often a cruel one.
NFL Picks.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit.
Now, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, my dog Molly, who was over 500 last year and beat me. It's quite a science picking these games.
Yeah.
I did tell, in my defense, I did tell you guys were here during the commercial when I told Bill Simmons, ESPN sports guy, that I thought that the Colts would win handily last night when he said he was going to take New Orleans.
Yeah.
He said he's going to take New Orleans to win outright.
I like New Orleans in the points.
Yes, man, I'm taking New Orleans outright. Dear
Online Diary.
Online Diary. Hey, Saints fans, rejoice. Bill Lockham can't miss Simmons is not only going to take New Orleans Saints, but take the money line. Take them to win outright. Ace man, the smart money is with the Saints. Right, it was 41-10.
Well.
But, hold on. P.S. Go Pats.
Loves of the Pats.
Loves the Pats. Here's the thing about guys from the Boston area. They're all huge Sox fans.
Right.
And they're all huge Patriots fans. And I'm sure guys from St. Louis are big Rams fans now, but they don't walk around in Rams jerseys.
Right.
Close your eyes and picture all the Red Sox shirts you've seen, all the Patriots stuff, and all the New England sports, whatever. If you see Bill Simmons, Bill Simmons is dressed like he's working the game.
Yeah.
He's like the chain gang in the Pats game. He's wearing a Pats shirt. He's wearing a helmet. He's got the lamplight under, blackout under his cheeks.
Dear Online Diary, me and the Ace Man are going to get together over a couple of tequizas and talk Karate Kid 3 and Tom Brady. He's dreamy. P.S. Go Sox.
That's how he ends all of his missives.
Either go Pats or go Sox. So, We're on the doorstep of a new football season. Very exciting because, let's face it, all these other sports like baseball, hey, only 40 more games to go, everybody. Only twice as many games as the football season to go left in the never-ending baseball season. This is methadone. This is a fix to hold you over until you can get the sweet, sweet relief of that smack known as football coursing through your veins. Well, we're starting this weekend. Wayne Root is on the phone. Wayne Allen Root, he is the world's best sports handicapper. Yes, Wayne?
I am. That's true. I'm also the only one with my own star on the Vegas Strip.
And that, that cost him $8,000. And the world's most modest sportscaster, or I should say sports handicapper. Wayne, you have a lock for us this week.
A lock? We don't use words like that.
Well, what do you use?
That's kind of a scammy word. There are no locks. You know, I've written 6 books on this subject. And, you know, the best handicappers in the world, the best professional gamblers in the world, and I think I'm number one with my own star on the strip and all that.
Do you have a star on the strip?
I heard you now.
New York, right in front of the ESPN zone in the sidewalk, 180-pound granite stone says Wayne Allen Root, King of Vegas.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've come a long way, 22 years in this business, and by the way, you said at the start of this segment, Adam, that it's not a science picking winners. Your dog does it, but it is a science. I've had over 2 million clients and over $100 million in revenue since my career began.
Wow.
I'm kind of the Merrill Lynch of the weekend, you know?
Well, there is money to be made, and I'm not a huge fan of gambling, but I love football gambling for some reason.
Well, guys love it. You know, it's not a gals thing. For whatever reason, I'm not being a chauvinist, but
it makes it more fun to watch the game, even for a gal.
That's for anybody. I'm not a huge football fan either, but if I have money on anything, it's more interesting.
But just to show you, it's kind of funny how it's a guy's thing. You know, I've got a company, a publicly traded company. We're traded on Wall Street, and I've got over 2 million clients in my database, and there's less than 10 women out of 2 million.
Really?
Yep, it's all guys. Guys grow up, you know, they go to college in Tennessee or Florida, and while they're there, what do? They don't study. They bet on Tennessee or Florida.
Well, maybe this is the domain of the male, but I'll tell you who wins the office pool every week.
Yeah, the female going, easy, money, mo, and the color is the color I like.
That is correct. And, you know, I was thinking, like, gambling is to football what booze is to weddings, which is it just makes it better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not a surprise that the most bet sport in the United States is NFL football and happens to get the highest TV ratings, and the single most bet event in the United States is Super Bowl, happens to get the highest TV ratings, and the number 2 most bet event is March Madness. It gets the second highest TV ratings, you know, and Monday Night Football is the most bet event of the week each week during football, and it happens to be the highest rated show in the history of sports. Those are coincidences.
I wonder if you could tell us, Wayne Root, and if you know this answer. I just started to think, I wonder if societies that gamble more are more evolved, more interesting, or more, have more expendable income. I feel like a lot of the places we're currently bombing don't do a lot of gambling. I don't mean betting on cockfighting, but I bet this country does the most gambling in the world, and I like it that way.
It does. I'll tell you what. Here's the proof. Number one, online gambling is illegal in the United States. You're not allowed to go online and make a bet. We're such an enlightened society.
Sure.
You could do all these other wonderful things, like, you know, senators could tap their feet in men's rooms, but God forbid we gamble online.
Well, there's a little something called the lottery, which last time I checked had to do with gambling.
Exactly. And by the way, there's more places to bet on the lottery than there are McDonald's in the United States.
Oh, my God.
4-1. So it shows you.
But very consistent message the government is sending. It's populist.
Here's been my theory. We're the richest nation in the world, the biggest economy in the history of civilization, because we're the biggest risk takers ever.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors, all like mine, got on a boat from Europe or Russia or China, and they came over here.
Set sail to
they
Vegas.
Were the risk takers. That's why we have gambling in our blood. And then anyone who wasn't a risk taker stayed in Italy, stayed in Ireland, stayed in England. Those are the ones who don't do the gambling. Mm. We are the greatest gambling nation
theory.
In the world.
Yes, yeah. I could imagine one
immigrants
of
are gamblers.
Wayne Root's ancestors getting on a Viking ship saying, one day my great-great-great-great-great-grandson will have a chunk of granite on the Vegas Strip where the Root name will be proudly displayed for all the drunk people with cups filled with nickels to see.
I forget the name of the ship, unfortunately, but the Mayflower did not set out alone. There were two boats, and what do you think his family picked the right one? Because the other one started to sink and had to go back.
There were no Mayflowers in my background. I'm a nice Jewish boy from Columbia University.
They got on the Binion's boat, as opposed to the Slots of Fun
boat. But I did marry Miss Oklahoma, whose great-great uncle was Benjamin Franklin.
Really?
So there are some original.
Call that win-win right there.
Let's play some games.
Golden Shiksa.
Wouldn't he be happy, Benjamin, if he knew his great-great niece married a gambler from Columbia University, a Jewish gambler from Columbia?
Probably doing a cartwheel in his grave as we speak. All right, let's pick some games. We saved your, we don't call it a lock, but the one you have a feeling about.
Okay.
For the last game. Am I correct say that?
But I do first have to get it a shameless plug. There has to be one shameless plug allowed.
So far, you've said so few things.
Yes. Number one, my website has all the information on every game and all my picks at every game, winningedge.com.
All right.
Winningedge.com. And number two, my TV show, Wayne Allyn-Root's Winning Edge, is on tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 8:30 Eastern and Pacific. So whether you're in California or New York, 8:30 in the morning on Discovery Channel, Wayne Allyn-Root's Winning Edge. We pick the winners in all the important games of the week. And for the last 7 seasons, we've been on the air, this is our 8th season, I picked 18 games over 500, picking best bets on that show. This is not something you can make up. On TV, all recorded, all documented, 18 games over 500. If you bet $1,000 a game just for watching the show for free,
when do you guys bet he'll stop
$14,000.
Over-under is Tuesday. All right, let's pick some games here.
Okay. The one that I thought was the most interesting in week one, and just so you know what handicappers think, week one is where you want to watch it and react to it in week two. It's not a big week. You don't make a lot of money in week one.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Things are kind of, you know, nobody including me knows yet for sure how everyone's going to play and how they're going to shake out as the season goes on. But in week one, the only one I thought was really interesting is I like Green Bay and the upset over Philadelphia.
You like Green Bay. All right. Well, let's talk to our panel of lay people here, because that'll be one of the games we'll pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go against the great Wayne Root. I'm going to take Philly that one. I like Brett Favre. I like Brett Favre at home. It's tough to bet against Brett Favre at home, but Philly just seems to be a better team. Now, again, you got to give away a field goal if you're going to take Philly. How do you see it, Teresa?
Yes, I'm also going with Philly. One, my boyfriend Dominic is from there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting with my heart, and I like their good, solid defense.
All right, Danny?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to bet on cheesesteaks, something I know something about. But since I'm forced to bet about large men trying to gain yardage, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers, and the reason being, just the only time I ever had to pretend I cared about sports was in Chicago.
Yeah.
So they kept coming up all the time. So I know who they are and what their uniforms look like. That's the best
thing
I can
really
do.
Really suck last year.
All right. So Danny's
I'm
going
in Green Bay.
Danny's
just
going
I've heard of
Green Bay in the Chicago San Diego game.
Yeah.
Oh, Molly, that's right.
Molly.
Out of sight, out of mind. Molly's down low and behind me. Who did Molly pick in the Green Bay
Philly
game? By
the way, we should say that she picks by, we put kibbles on the piece of paper with each team name.
Right, and whatever one she goes for. Again, not as scientific as what Wayne does, but effective. She beat me last year. So she picks Green Bay.
Oh, same as Wayne.
Goes against Papa, but knows a lock when she hears one. All right, Chicago at San Diego. Wayne Root, how do you see it?
You know what? I see it as too close to call, and I'll tell you why. Ooh. I think Chicago's defense completely overrated. As good as they are, they made the Super Bowl. You know, I do the over-unders, too, and last year Chicago was 11-4-1, meaning out of 16 games, 11 times they went over, not under, and everybody was betting under all year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a contrarian. I go the opposite to people. The perception is the defense is so good, they set the line low, and therefore you're better off going over. As far as the game itself, you think, well, if that's the case, if they're overrated, why not take San Diego?
Right.
They have a new coach and a new coaching staff, and I'm not a big North Turner fan.
Mm.
I would just stay off it in week one. You guys have to make a pick.
Right.
I'm not going to stick my neck out.
All right. Well, we'll stick our neck out. T, what do you think?
Wow. Well, he kind of dissuaded me because I was just thinking there's so much talent on the Chargers, but I wasn't thinking about the new coaching staff. But I'm still going with San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Danny?
Okay. I'm actually a fan. If I have to be a fan of a team in the world, I am a fan of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got to pick because I know anything, I'm going to go because I know that shuffle song.
Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah.
Very scientific. I'm going to go San Diego. I didn't think about the coaching change. Yeah. I just thought San Diego's at home.
Yeah.
Chicago could be in for a little letdown after the Super Bowl spanking they got. Oftentimes, one of the teams, oftentimes the losing team in the Super Bowl, will be in for a little letdown. I just think LaDainian and company are going to put up at least 7 points over Chicago. I think maybe it'll be a 24-14 type game. I'm going San Diego on this one. Molly, there she goes, and right for Chicago Bears. This
Adam,
is...
can Wayne throw in one thing? Very perceptive on your part. One of the great handicapping trends out there, the team that loses the Super Bowl generally has a horrendous year the following year. I believe the stat is none of them have made the playoffs the following year in the last 5 or 6 seasons. And the team that wins the Super Bowl, by the way, also, and that was Indianapolis, of course, generally against the point spread, very overrated the next year, except for game one. I had Indy last night, by the way. My clients won that game. But the rest of the next, I'd say 6 or 7 games, I'll be against Indy every week because they'll be overrated against the point spread. The public will be all over Indy. Spread will be too high. Better off grabbing the points.
That's what I was just saying to somebody out in the hall. Now the spread's going to go way up, and Indy may just win, but not win by 14 points next week. All right, Detroit at Oakland. Any thoughts on this, Wayne Root?
Very slight edge. It's early in the season with two horrendous teams, and no one knows how they're going to shake out. But I'll give a slight edge to Oakland. They have the youngest head coach in the NFL. That's a bad thing. Lance Kiffin, 32 years old. They picked him up off the USC staff, and and Al Davis makes him a head coach just like that. No one even knows who the starting quarterback is going to be. He won't announce it till game time. But I'd be willing to bet you it'll be Josh McCown, who none of you probably ever heard of. But I love the kid. I think he's got a lot of talent, and he's an ex-Detroit Lion. I think he'll have a hell of a game to impress the team that got rid of him. And they've got
you're going Oakland on this one.
Oakland, and by the way, the key is they're the number 3 defense in the AFC last year.
Yeah.
So as bad as they are, good defense.
Yeah, people don't realize that. All right, T, what do you think?
I keep going against this guy who professionally chooses teams. I feel kind of stupid.
Well, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Detroit. I agree. It's almost a push here, but
right.
I feel their new offense.
You're giving away 2 points if you take Oakland, so you'll get 2 points if you take Detroit, Danny.
Okay, here's my dilemma. I think all people that can tough out living in Detroit are very hard guys.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, everybody I personally know that wears an Oakland jersey is heavily armed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you had to put the tough guy up against the guy with the gun, the guy with the gun wins. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Oakland because they can just shoot all the people in their way and run and get touchdowns every time, in my imagination of how football should actually be played.
I'm going with Oakland because they're at home, essentially. And, they have a defense. Detroit has no offense. So even if Oakland kicks a field goal and wins 3-0, they'll cover the point spread. Let's see what my dog Molly does. The thing that's funny about Molly is she will oftentimes walk past the closer piece of kibble on the card and go to the one that's further away. She's taking the Oakland Raiders as well, and now we're at our last game, Tampa Bay versus Seattle. Seattle is giving away 6 points. Seattle's at home. What do you think, Wayne Root?
Well, first of all, I want to know what Molly thinks about Michael Vick. I'm really interested. Do you think he should go away for a long time? Because, you know, I figure she should.
It'd be nice, yeah. She just made a kiki. I think that's what she. I think she's spoken.
Yeah.
Tough game, good against bad. You know, Seattle, of course, won their division last year. Real good team, great quarterback, great coach, great running back. They got it all. Tampa Bay, terrible. The golden boy, the boy genius, Gruden, who everyone thought was so great. You know what his record is in 6 seasons at Tampa Bay? 39-41. 2 games under 500.
Yeah, Chucky's not doing well over there.
No, but you know what? It's a lot of points, and I thought I'd give it a shot in week one, and I give a slight opinion, just a little check to Tampa Bay. I just think Seattle's given away a little too much.
Well, the thing about it is Seattle's a good team. They do a lot of winning, and a lot of their winning is done with field goals from 53 yards with 2 ticks on the clock, thus not covering any point spreads. So Seattle's one of those teams that doesn't overpower other teams. They just find a way to win consistently. T, what do you think?
I feel that Tampa's been in a downward spiral for years, and Seattle is one of the cities that listens to our show. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I'm picking Seattle.
All right. Danny?
Well, I'm going to pick Seattle for two reasons. One, the same sentimental reason that Teresa did, because they listen to us, and that makes them smarter than the people in Tampa Bay. And also, when you talked about field goal kicking, I happen to be friends with Kevin Butler. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
From the Chicago Bears, Butthead?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he, for a while, the highest scoring guy in football?
Well, I don't know if he was, but I know kickers oftentimes, people don't realize it, have score the most points.
Right.
You know, they think of quarterbacks, running backs,
right.
But all they do is run out and kick a couple of field goals every game. Yeah, I'll go with
it's
that.
It's just that it's everything I can do to concentrate on this subject, because I just don't know anything about it. But when you said field goal, and I know something about this. Field goals can really win games. So it made me really think about Butthead. That's what we called him. Yeah. So I am going with Seattle on this.
So because you were reminded of a guy who retired 11 years ago in a city that's not represented in this game,
right?
You're going with Seattle or Tampa.
If there was a boxer from Wyoming who mm-hmm. was white mm-hmm. and anything about him reminded me of Muhammad Ali,
you'd go
I would
with
bet
him.
On him.
All right. I'm going with Seattle just because I think Tampa's bad and it's under a touchdown. I think they'll win by a touchdown, at least. They don't overpower other teams, but they should beat Tampa by a touchdown, especially at home. What does Molly think? Molly's going to Tampa Bay.
Wow.
Going against her owner, I think, in 3 out of 4 games.
But again, with Wayne Allen Root.
Yep. Wayne.
She likes it.
Wayne, I've got a quick question for you. Yes. You know, Adam Carolla was a long snapper. How important is that position in the game of football?
It's one of the key positions in the whole game. Hey, look at the end of the playoff game last year with the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't a long snapper, but it was the snap from the for the field goal, and it was off kilter, and Tony Romo dropped it, and all of a sudden their whole playoff went down the drain, and the
yeah,
whole season ended.
They were about to win the game.
Man,
it was really Romo couldn't handle the ball.
It's not just the snapper. I just think the whole game comes down to defense and special teams.
I have said this many times. Wayne Allen Root is on the phone, the world's best sports handicapping site,
has, like,
by the way.
Star,
he has a star
like
on the
a
walk
check marker
in
or something
Vegas.
Like that.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thought I've always had, which is if the mob could get to the long snapper. See, the long snapper is a guy on the roster whose name you don't know.
Right.
Everyone knows the quarterback and the running backs and the wideouts and the other skilled position guys. But the long snapper, this guy's making the league minimum. This guy's probably making 300 grand a year when everyone else is making 6 million a year.
Right. Yeah, but you know who makes less than the league minimum?
Who?
The officials.
Ah.
Just like in the NBA where they just caught a guy fixing
yeah.
him. I've been watching football.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Wayne. If you get to an official, A, they have instant replay for many of the calls, so it can be overturned, but B, it will draw attention to that person.
Correct. But
the long snapper, hold on, the long snapper could sail one over the punter's head and bounce one back during a key field goal or extra point try, and no one would know the better.
He could, but he'd only do that twice before they'd cut him, whereas officials make bad calls all the time.
Super Bowl, baby!
Now, you say they're reviewed, but I'll tell you what isn't reviewed. When you call holding,
mm-hmm.
it's not reviewed. When it's pass interference, it's not reviewable. Those two on the last drive seem to determine an awful lot of games.
Very
and
true.
And they get you thinking. So in
Very
my case,
true.
All I ever think is, please God, I hope I'm on the same side as the corrupt official.
Right. Wayne, God bless you. Wayne Allen Root, the world's best sports handicapping site. Go to WayneRoot.com.
No, actually, WinningEdge.com is the
All
best.
All right.
WinningEdge.com.
Go to WinningEdge.com.
Our TV show tomorrow, Wayne Allen Root's Winning Edge, 8:30 a.m. Pacific and Eastern, 7:30 Central, on Discovery Channel, or go to the website, WinningEdge.com.
And if you're walking down the Vegas Strip and you see Wayne's star there, fire a snot rocket salute at it for the Ace Man. Thanks, Wayne. We need to do one more quick thing. Which is over under or combined points, just in case there's a tiebreaker. So I guess we'll do it on the Philly Green Bay game.
Do whatever game you want,
since it's at the bottom,
okay.
And we will pick our overall points. T, do you have a thought on that? This is in case there's a tie.
Overall points.
Mm-hmm. Philly Green Bay.
44.
44 points. All right, Danny?
I'm going to say 38.
38 points. I'll just go above. Oh, 44 is tough, though. I don't know if these teams are going to do a lot of scoring. I wonder what the weather's like over in Green Bay.
Are you aware that I have no idea what we're talking about? I just said 38 because you picked 40-something.
I'm going to, I'll go down. I'll go 37.
Uh-oh.
I'll go low. It's an advantage to go last. We'll change up the order next time because either I could go 45, which seems a little heavy.
I thought about making you go first, but I was too shy.
Or I could go low. Well, let's keep it that way, baby doll. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Let's see. We got ourselves some crank anchors calls when we come back. Also, I pulled an interesting clip off of Entertainment Tonight last night that had Puff Daddy doing a little talk, and I'd like to explore that as well. We'll do that. Also, Joel McHale from The Soup, he's brought his clips. All that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchors Vault with Tracy Morgan.
Hello, Hector speaking.
My name is Spoonie. Spoonie? I bought some shoes from your store the other day.
Okay.
And when I went to put them on, there was a note inside that said my toes look like Tootsie Rolls.
Your toes? What?
Yes. I am not only insulted, I'm hurt.
Okay, do you remember who helped you out?
No.
And you bought it out of this location?
Yes, and my son bought a pair of shoes out of there the other day, too. And they said that he had a note in his shoes that said his toes look like Milk Duds.
I, you know what, sir? I mean, I really apologize for that, but I
no,
don't...
No, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do Tootsie Rolls have bunions? Because my toes do.
Yeah.
And that's some whack-ass crap right there.
Can you describe the person that was helping you?
Asian. Male.
Okay.
I woke up the other day, my son was trying to chew on my toes like they was Tootsie Roll because of that letter.
Okay, Spoon, do you have a contact number where we can reach you?
Yes. Well,
okay.
Hold on. This affected my whole family.
Okay, we're definitely going to take a look into this, okay?
All the loves.
Okay.
And as I left, you know what the guy said?
What did he say?
He said, bye-bye, little Tootsie Roll foot boy. And started laughing. Like, okay. My toes really look like Tootsie Rolls.
Okay.
You think that's funny?
No, I don't think that's funny. Like I said, we're going to take a look into it.
You're laughing.
No, I'm not laughing.
You ever had a note in your shoe that said your toes look like Tootsie Rolls and Milk Duds?
I don't know how that's relevant to the situation.
Well, you know how relevant it is? When I plant my toes in your ass, they won't feel like no Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, okay.
He's very good. The second I hear his voice.
I know, he's funny even when he's not funny.
I know.
Still,
you know,
funny.
It's kind of sad. I read that he is getting divorced from his wife. And when he was in here during the commercial, he was just singing her praises, said they were high school sweethearts.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And I was just saying that to Kira Sedgwick, that after a certain amount of time, you just assume it will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Gretchen read to me a statistic recently that if you make it past 15 years, she'll probably make it forever. Huh.
Hmm.
I guess we'd be, how'd I do on the over-under there?
You beat the odds. That was one of Wayne's locks. Yeah. He told me he was going to... now have even more sex with strangers.
More than when he was married, even?
He didn't specify that. He just said even more sex with strangers. All right. Well, speaking of brothers, I was watching, I think it was Extra, and they were talking to Puff Daddy. And Puff Daddy's having himself a nice little party out in the Hamptons.
The white party?
The white party.
Yeah.
It's his white party where everyone... dresses in white, and I'll let Puff Daddy explain why everyone dresses in white.
Finally, after 5 years, Sean Combs said yes to my at-home tour with him in the Hamptons, a visit with his beautiful children, and an invite to the legendary White Bash.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? It's your boy Diddy, and New York loves Extra.
And we just loved getting a party pass to Diddy's famed Labor Day weekend bash at his multi-million dollar house in the Hamptons.
I say, you know, let's just celebrate life. And that's why I throw the white party, to celebrate life. It's about us all being on the same level. It's all dressed in white. It's no economic status. Nobody knows who's who.
Right, except for when he's giving the interview, he's dressed all in white, just as he said. No one knows about it, anyone's economic status. Everyone is just the same, except for he has a 24-karat gold medallion the size of a trash can lid hanging from his plain white frock.
It's not about economics.
It's not about economics. No. Maybe the 80 pounds of gold that you have hanging in front of everybody in your plain white T-shirt is a little bit of a tip of the hat.
I don't know, a tip might be that you got invited.
Being economically sound, and the huge 14-karat stud diamond earrings that you have hanging off of each ear. Again, could be just a little bit of inside information, and I'm guessing the Rolex does let people know you've arrived as well. And he's doing the interview in front of a Pepsi banner. Evidently, Pepsi underwrote the white party this year. So he's standing in front of the Pepsi banner. He's wearing arguably 500 grand worth of jewelry and explaining to everyone it's not about money. I thought, what a delight.
Do you think there's anybody that gets an invitation? Puffy knows their personal address and sends them an invitation that doesn't have money? Do you think there's a at least multi-hundred thousand dollar heir going?
Oh, there's probably a handful of people there handing out food and
working
up leave. If you're wearing white and you've been invited to the party at the Hamptons, I'm betting you have some dough.
Everybody is filthy, filthy rich, but it's not about that.
No.
It's about
wearing
the common white frock and then hanging hubcap-sized gold medallions off of you, you hypocrite. And then I started thinking about his song the other day and how much that song blew ass. And then I started to realize, I'm not sure if I like Puff Daddy. I think he gets away with a lot. He wears all the clothing with his name written on it.
Yeah.
Well, Sean John action.
Kind of a blowhardy move. Could you imagine? Well, Teresa, I'm going to point this one at you just to play it safe. But could you imagine if you had yourself a clothing line called T-Lo, and everywhere you went, you wore a huge hoodie that just had your name written on the front of it?
It would seem strange to me. Yeah.
Go against your nature, would it not?
Yeah.
I'm legally changing my name to Ed Hardy.
Mm. I see.
Just so I can always do it. And then when I get bored with that, I'll just change to someone, you know, some other designer's name. Just change like a letter or two.
Well, listen, I wouldn't do the T-Strauss line or whatever, but I'm torn between thinking he's an enormous blowhard and he's kind of an entrepreneur, and I admire that.
He is an entrepreneur, but he's a blowhard. Wears his clothing line everywhere. He acts like he's some kind of music critic when he does his show. And let's listen. Yeah, you kind of like this song because you kind of liked it in 1983 when the Police did it.
And loved it.
Yes. Let's listen. It's kind of hard when you're not around. Know you in heaven smiling down. Watching us while we pray for you. Every day we pray for you. I'm praying with Brian. Every day we meet again. In my heart is where I keep you, friend. Memories give me the strength I need to proceed. Strength I need to believe. My thoughts big, I just can't define. Is there anyone listening who doesn't think they could do this?
No, I could do this.
Or is there anyone in this room who doesn't think they could do it? Super simplistic rhymes with a coupled with a sort of blowhard stuff about you still being here and me working the pearly gate, hanging over you. And then you get the professionals to do the singing.
Right.
You do the clumsy, crappy rap with the fifth grade rhyming couplets, and then you let the pros come in and sing the song. You don't even sing the song that the other band did. You hire pros to sing the Sting song, and then you jump in and go, every day when you're not around, I think about you, brother. I want to get down, but I know one day we'll be together. And it's like, it's the kind of stuff you do in a schoolyard.
I would bet that I could do as close to a good job. I happen to think that Eminem's a bit of a genius, and I don't know who writes 50 Cent stuff, but I really like 50 Cent.
I think he does.
Does he? Then I happen to think he's really good, too. But most rappers, I think if you gave me a topic and a beat, I could do as good of a job rhyming, if not rapping, for 2.5 minutes without ever thinking about it, without paper.
Do you want a topic?
No, not particularly. It's 2.5 minutes of Adam's show with me rapping. But I think I can do it.
You got a topic, Adam?
All right, wait.
Give him a topic he really knows well.
NAFTA.
NAFTA?
I don't know.
That's me.
My dog, Molly.
Pick one. I can do them both together,
Molly.
Standing up.
Ready? His dog Molly is a border collie, not the kind of border, the border you cross. Border you cross when you need to get a job, cause back in the States, you're nothing but a slob. You got NAFTA working, they're on your side. Slip over the border, get yourself a ride. Get some shiny wheels, get some new caps. Get a new grill, get yourself a gat. How's that? Ooh.
Well, I would say
NAFTA
this,
and Molly?
About as good as puffed and done on the fly.
And NAFTA was, I got to say, it's a curveball a little bit.
I got to say, you're a bit of a savant.
Yeah.
I was going to say idiot savant. That sounds mean.
I'll go with idiot savant as long as it ends in savant.
You're a savant at the rhyming. I want to do another one.
No.
I like this game.
It's just all right,
you
want to
pick
you
a
can't
topic?
Get
oh, gosh. All right. Yeah, I want to pick a topic. This one you're going to have to go a little deeper.
All right.
Well, I can't decide between Amy or the end of his marriage with Gretchen. Because Eminem is always rapping about Kim.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, right. Gretchen could be your Kim.
Yeah, she made Gretchen your Kim.
Dance, little man. The Jewess is born. She grows weary.
Make me laugh.
I got a new gal, and her name is Amy. I took her for a ride, cause she really liked to lay me. My wife got mad, and she took all my money. Is it really worth it to have a 25-year-old honey? We do it twice a day, sometimes three. I barely get a break, long enough to pee. The girl just want to do me all night long. But my bank account, man, damn, that's looking wrong.
And the show has reached a new low.
That's a new high. This is my favorite thing ever. I can't wait. No, my favorite thing ever just walked in. Joel McHale.
Oh, imagine this scenario. Joel McHale makes sweet, sweet love to you.
Yes.
While Danny busts a rhyme.
Right, about the topic.
About the topic of Joel making sweet, sweet love,
oh, come on,
love to you. And in a fit of passion.
Yeah.
During an uncontrollable orgasmic spasm, your foot kicks over your step monster's urn, and a wind carries the ashes into the bay.
You've just described utopia.
All right. Well, should we take a break?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Joel McHale is waiting in the wings. He has brought along his clips. Danny is going to need a reach around and a secrets. I will handle one of those things. I'm not going to say which one. We'll take a quick break. Joel McHale from The Soup is in next. Do we have a tease? Oh, okay. Well, the tease is Joel McHale next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Vajayjay.
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 Please don't puke in a jacuzzi.
Try not, sister. Okay, number one, don't sister me.
From E's The Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God.
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Joel. Hardly recognize you with your clothes on. Jealous, T?
A little bit.
That's right.
I gotta say, I've had a lot of post-traumatic stress. I mean, well, more just withdrawal from sleeping in the same old bed with my wife.
Yeah, it's so boring going home to a woman.
I wish we had had waxing appointments while we were there.
Joel and I went up to... We took a... we went up to wine country to... share the same queen-size bed.
Top down on the Saab.
Those were the days. Yeah, we were at the car show up there with a few buddies. Joel came up, had a good time.
You brought up a argument up there. I heard the discussion. You brought up the argument, the use of the phrase, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Right.
It's one of his favorite topics, but to get out of anything.
To get out of anything.
So response to anything.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the phrase, I'm just saying, also kind of works.
Yeah. Mm.
So if we could have a debate right now where you are only allowed to say, but still, and I am only allowed to say, I'm just saying, I want to see how it works out.
Yeah, what happened is we...
I am never going to get tired of this.
We were driving around area around Pebble Beach, and I said, you know, each year we come up here, I go up with the same guys, and it's spectacular. There's not a cloud in the sky. It never rains. It's glorious. I said, that's really nice timing that it's so beautiful. It never rains at Pebble Beach. It would ruin the race. It would ruin the Pebble Beach. It would ruin the car show, and it's always glorious weather. And the guy in the back, Sandy, said, it never rains around here. That's why it's not raining. And everyone else said, it rains quite a bit up north.
It actually does.
And he went, oh. And I said, don't say oh. Say, yeah, but still. That'll get you out of the argument that you just lost. It's a nice way to get out.
Yeah.
And you go like,
oh, you brought that up.
So right.
Nothing I can do now.
How do we have this sparring match where I only get to use, yeah, but still. And do I get to whip out the sheepish second cousin to yeah, but still, which is, I don't know about that. That's when you're really wrong. And it's time to move on.
Or you could do what my dad does sometimes, where he clearly has lost. He goes, well, we'll see.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, that's not even cheap. He's like, well, we'll see.
I was going to say that a really cheap and easy one, because you can change the inflection, which you can on all of these to make them work consistently. But dude is also quite handy, I have found.
Dude can be used in a pinch.
Yeah, but still, I'm just saying... Dude,
what are you going to do?
Well, we'll see.
What are you going to do is good.
I don't know about that. Let the baby have his bottle.
I think I've about had it with agree to disagree.
Yeah, but the expression, I agree to gouge your eye out,
better.
Because you're like sick of them,
better.
It doesn't fly.
I also hate, well, that's your opinion.
Ugh, it's so patronizing.
Oh. Yo, Gabba Gabba. Really, it is? The thing I just said is? Oh.
Yeah.
Your opinion is even more condescending.
Yeah.
It's my opinion if I say, boy, it's really hot out, and it's 80. Mm-hmm. Somebody might not think it's really hot out, and therefore it is my opinion. But 2 and 2 is 4, and that is not my opinion. Those are the facts. And I hate it when somebody is wrong, and they say, well... You're entitled to your opinion, but it's 5.
I agree. I also...
I should gouge your eye out.
Then you could come back right back with, yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surrendering. Aren't you surrendering when somebody insists 2 and 2 is 5?
Then you gotta pull out what my dad says. All right, we'll see.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
Let's see some clips.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. Yo, Gabba Gabba.
We're just saying.
Dr. Phil is back, everybody.
Mm. Ah.
And I know how excited you are about it, and he's up to fighting weight. So he had his topic this week was, you know how he always had some book, like, help my husband's, I am metrosexual.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is this couple. And just when you hear this guy talk, just please in your mind lay down all the stereotypical moves of what, you know, a gay man would do.
Okay. You told us you still wonder if he's gay.
On occasion, I kind of think, yeah, he might be doing a little too much. Looking too pretty.
You wax and tweeze.
Mm-hmm.
You wear concealer. What is concealer?
Concealer hides everything that you don't want shown.
Like, how's your sex life?
Yeah.
Okay.
How's your sex
life? That guy's gay.
He was really gay.
Did they ever face that?
He had a faux hawk and a sculpted beard.
Sculpted beard.
And the head was moving a lot. I mean, a lot of the...
No, you didn't.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Oh, man. Well, I got to say, I don't know if you've been listening, but Terry, my pterodactyl,
right,
sits high atop the Arco building.
I've heard his wings go by me before, and I was like, please grab Ryan, please grab Ryan, please grab Ryan.
Oh, he's on the list. I've also decided to send him up to Oprah's Players Ball, which is coming up in just mop up.
Yeah, but that's 42 acres of coastline that he's going to have to cover.
All I'm saying is I could send Terry out to pick up, you know, we could pick out Al-Qaeda, each general and each leader separately, or we could wait until they're all under one tent and hit it with the Predator.
Now, his pterodactyl, who takes away people that we, Terry, who
drops
takes
in
people,
a volcano.
We don't know if they're dropped in.
They go towards
the volcano, and that's all I want to know.
Joel.
The point is Dr. Phil, unfortunately, has been on my hit list for a while, but Terry says, no can do, too heavy, too bald.
Right, can't
nothing
grip.
Nothing to grab.
Right. Same thing with Rosie,
and,
as I heard.
And slimy.
If Terry can only take one tour and pick up one person, would you rather he get Bin Laden or Seacrest?
Wow.
Wow, I am stumped.
One of these makes you a good American, and one of these makes you a great American.
Great American.
I guess we'll go with Seacrest.
Yes, made the right decision. Look, Bin Laden's hiding in some cave doing hooked up to a dialysis machine. Yeah. Seacrest is going to ruin the Super Bowl and the Emmys in 10 days. Let's focus on the task at hand, people.
Is Terry going to be able to snatch him from the Emmys or the Super Bowl?
Where do you get him? At the Super Bowl?
I'd like him since the
Super Bowl would be so dramatic.
Well, here's the thing.
It would beat the Britney halftime show.
The deal is I don't want all the Seacrest hype leading up to the Super Bowl. That's my, you know what I mean? That's my wedding. I don't want to talk about another couple's divorce. I want him to snatch him on the red carpet going into the Emmys, thus avoiding the Super Bowl altogether.
Right.
Okay.
And but I said too much.
Well, the Super Bowl, I think the airspace is probably protected.
That's
I don't know
if
Terry can get in there.
Very, very good point.
You think like a surface-to-air missile could get Terry?
Yeah, there's nothing that can get... I went to the World Series a couple of years ago, and there's nothing that can get inside that airspace unless you're flying a Cessna that has a Takati banner. In that case, you can actually circle inside of the stadium. It was like, I just sat there staring at like 80 planes that were dragging these banners, flying at 80 miles an hour, very rickety, you know, in a very slow fashion around the top of it, and I thought, how do these guys get in?
Yeah.
All right.
They checked. All right.
Yeah. What else?
There is a there's an infomercial for a thing called Aqua V, which is a type of a way to purify your water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And here is some inside information on bottled water that I think you will be shocked by.
So one out of every three bottles was contaminated?
It's pretty scary stuff, isn't it? The problem is there's practically no safety monitoring of bottled water. In fact, the FDA admits they have fewer than one staff person for the entire country to make sure that bottled water meets minimum safety standards.
Fewer than one? There's like a guy walking around with just a torso and one arm.
Yeah,
he's pushing himself along on a cart.
He has a wheelchair. It's one of those, you don't see his legs. He wears a blanket.
Fewer than one.
And he inspects all the bottled water.
We need one guy who stepped on a landmine in Vietnam to come to work for us to be in charge of the bottled water inspection program.
Fewer
than one. One in three bottles contaminated.
Yeah. With sarin gas, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Or placenta.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of bottled water has placenta.
Yeah, my Dasani's been tasting funny.
It's placenta-y.
Mm-hmm. It is one of these things we face as a society where they... Whenever they do one of these stories, these scare stories on the news about what's really in that hot dog or who's handling that food or who's doing this and who's doing that, you watch it, it scares the bejesus out of you, and then you realize you have eaten 1,700 McDonald's hamburgers and 400,000 hot dogs and never gotten sick. And for me, that's the ultimate math.
Right. If I hear another person tell me that the fact I'm drinking out of an aluminum can is going to give me Alzheimer's.
Oh, my God.
If I could remember their names.
Yeah. I've forgotten how many people have told me that.
They're welcome to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're entitled to it.
Yeah, but still.
We'll see.
All right. So what's
all right,
next?
Now, another infomercial. Adam, you use the internet all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you love to make $10 million on it?
I would, yes.
But how does the internet work?
I don't know. I'm not Al Gore.
That's exactly right. Now listen to this huge-breasted woman explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. Do you really know how your email magically appears on your computer screen, or how it really works, or how it magically sends your emails all over the place? If you're like me, you just know how to type some information into a message and click the send button, and away it goes, magically delivered to your friends. If you're like me, you don't know how email works. You just know how to send one. This system is just as easy to use. Automatically, just click your mouse, and everything happens magically.
It struck me, first off, we have to have the syntho beat behind everything in society now.
Yes.
Only in infomercials do you hear, if you're like me. You don't hear that outside of the infomercial. You think you do, but you never hear it in the hallway at work. No one says, if you're like me, Phil, you'll change the copier toner when it's time to... You don't hear if you're like me, but in commercials, it's always like, if you're like me, you love fresh cut vegetables, but you don't have the time. And then they go into whatever it is.
Just think about it. Do you really know how your email magically appears on your computer screen, or how...
No, there are...
Way to hit the drop on that one.
There are two people in this room that I can guarantee will never say with a straight face to anyone they've ever met, you know, if you were like me, and I'm going, one's being Corolla, he's never going to go up to anybody and go, you know, you're just like me, so that's just so never going to fall out.
You buy that Lamborghini.
And me is, you know, if you were like me, I just kill yourself now. Just, you know, get out of, you know, you're just going to do damage.
Hey, it just doesn't, you don't hear it outside of the commercials. But what was she trying to sell?
It's a very vague home business where you could make $10 million off the magical internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very vague how it all works. But she could not have larger breasts, and her co-host couldn't either.
Mm.
And they are just jiggling away the whole time as they're explaining.
And it's one of these things where you buy a bunch of trinkets from Korea, but you don't need a warehouse.
You buy CDs.
Uh-huh.
And so it explains it to you.
You buy CDs from them.
Yeah. Yes.
And they explain to you how to buy trinkets from Korea. You don't need a warehouse. And then you sell directly to the public and blah, blah, blah. It's essentially... What used to be called Amway.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
Multi-level marketing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I invested, and so far...
Millions?
I have not made millions yet, but this magical internet thing is a lot clearer
to me.
You
read The Secret, and you can make this happen.
I've imagined myself making $10 million.
That's all you need.
I've actually already bought a bunch of things because I've already made that money.
Have you manifested that destiny?
Yes, I mean, at the car show, I bought the Ferrari California.
Yeah.
I don't have the money yet.
But you know you will have it.
Mm-hmm.
$6 million is not a lot for a car when you have made so much, when you're going to make.
I think it was only 4.5.
That's the car and the hotel California. $4 million bucks.
Well, then there's the premium, though, at the auction that it won at.
Rent and the taxes. Anyway.
Right. Probably up around six. All right, Joel, do you have a tease for us before we head to break?
This is from the real world.
Siobhan, I apologize for calling you a slut.
Oh, my gosh. Real world?
Big fight in the real world. I watched it last night.
Oh, it's good. There's two clips that I have in the next segment that are going to easily make our top clips of the year.
Real world is... so awesome because it's hot, drunken, sloppy chicks in their natural habitat. You see them at the bar, drunk and sloppy, but you don't get to follow them home and see them drunk and
like
sloppy.
It's like they tagged drunk and sloppy women.
It's not the zoo.
And they followed them. That's right.
Yeah.
And the great thing about being drunk and sloppy and at home is there's a kitchen and everyone gets that thing where they've been drunk for 6 hours and now it's 2:30 in the morning and it's time to make themselves a hoagie. Yeah. And so they're going, you never, ever. And then they're like, don't you ever come at me now. Just everyone is eating something horrible at
except
4 in
for
the morning.
One girl who has been purging all her life.
Yes.
And and at one point you go, you look anorexic. And then all hell breaks loose.
He's coming.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, there's a fight. There's water flying.
Ooh.
Hopefully it's that one in three bottles that's contaminated with pollutants. There's a bottle. There's a beer bottle thrown. The B word gets tossed around
liberally. I'm going to go look for a fake job.
Good times.
That's all they do there.
That's right. All right, so we'll have that fight and Joel McHale next when we come back.
Yes.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee is professional, innovative, and has the ability to touch and lift the hearts of all the other employees. If you could combine Edward R. Murrow, Thomas Edison, and Gandhi, the result would still pale in comparison to this week's employee. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Yes! Hell yes!
Wow.
In your face, Angie.
Is that where you thought it might go this time?
Well, she has this whole nefarious plan about getting here early and staying late and doing the work at two.
Yeah.
Thought she could wrestle the crown away from the ace man just because I roll in half-baked, sleep-deprived, and still riding a Merlot high from the night before, moments before the show starts, and then I'm out of here like a shot as soon as I sign off. She thinks that because of her extra work and extra attention to detail on the show, she was going to get to be Employee of the Month. Well, no such luck. In your face! In your face!
It's the difference in style. I was walking through as you were talking about your brother Pete Touch, and she was talking about all the files that she could label and, you know, producing the show and doing the job of two. As I walked into the studio and heard Adam talking about labeling his thoughts and squirrels. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really separates
her. The big box. That's why I get the big box. That's why I take the crown.
She's going to do files. Anybody can do files.
I met her and I thought, wow, she's working very hard. But then I met Adam and I was like, wow, compared to Adam, she sucks at her job.
Yeah.
It's like seeing, it's like going from like seeing the best high school football player and then seeing Larry Johnson.
Let me just say something to her. Keep pushing that pencil and burning the midnight oil, loser. I'm going to go home and get drunk. I'll be home by 10:15, loaded by 10:18. You stick around. Don't you listen to some tapes for the best of. I hope this is on the best of.
I don't
Good
think
job,
it's
Ace Man.
Well, wait a
Great
second.
Job.
If that's how it's done, maybe I should win. I've been lit up since about 7:45.
Yeah, you listen to Bonaducci.
Hey, Joel, I know we got to get into this real world thing, but I understand callers are inquiring about your new show, The It Crowd.
IT Crowd.
Whatever, I can't read.
It's
says
cool.
It. It's a message from our phone screen.
I don't know. Somebody works for TMZ and should be up on sort of things coming out.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Exactly.
Good day, sir. The IT Crowd.
Yes, it's a mid-season replacement for NBC.
It's what are you replacing?
I don't know.
Oh, somebody should be up on their own show, my friend.
That sounds awesome.
I don't have the schedule. I don't have the schedule, but I do know what's been announced.
You did a pilot for a major network, and it got the green light.
Yes, it did. Yes.
Congratulations.
It's gigantic.
It's been, we don't have a production schedule yet, but they ordered 6 episodes.
How are you going to do both that and the soup?
We worked it out. I'm going to do both.
This is great.
How can you even say that to a guy that works next to Seacrest?
I still look like
radio.
His brother who sits around and smokes meth all day.
I got to give the kid that. How do you possibly have that? What is he? Has he extended to a 28-hour day?
If he's walking in the hallway, and I'm not kidding, his battery of assistants run a screen for him, much like a kickoff on a football team, where they run ahead, and if you try to like, hey, Ryan, they will just chop block
Hold on.
You.
Does he have an offensive coordinator in his glare squad?
If you interrupt him, it interrupts his schedule.
Yeah, no, right. I'll bet you're not kidding.
Yeah, and so you have to, anyway.
When I say yeah, but still.
Yeah, it's so
Joel. Good. All right,
anyway. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see. I hope it, I hope it's the next coupling. all right.
Three of us got that.
So before we get into the real world, there's a show called The Pickup Artist.
Yeah.
And it's about the greatest pickup artist in the world, and he has renamed himself Mystery.
Right.
He dresses like a gothy Dave Navarro.
If Dave Navarro skippered a pirate ship and did a large-scale magic show.
And walked off the set
from each port he landed on.
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
That's how he would dress.
Yeah, and capes, so much eyeliner.
But he does help the guys.
He looks like a raccoon.
Right.
Yes.
Somehow, are you attracted to men like that?
No. No, but I've seen sometimes he puts the IFB in the guy's ears and speaks to them and helps them pick up women remotely.
Yeah.
Like a new age Cyrano.
I'd like to put my IF boot in his ass. I hate this guy.
Eric von Markovic.
That's not my type. You guys know my type.
AKA Larry Goldstein from Philadelphia.
Why does he have to be a Jew?
Sorry.
Why? Probably an Italian Corolla.
You're right.
Why did he accomplish something?
All right. He's taking these guys, these schlubs, and he is helping them learn to pick.
This show is not a hit, is it?
I don't know. It seems to be. I want it to be like, you know, you think like Criss Angel Mind Freak, and the guy could not be more huge.
Right.
And you're like, but people are wanting to listen to a gothy, lispy magician. Okay.
He actually has kind of good lines. To pick up women.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, well, there was this one guy, and he was in the bar with the IFB.
You would totally get picked up by Mystery,
but listen,
you?
He had one good line. I'm going to share it with the listeners.
Right. Yo, Gabba Gabba.
He was talking to this girl, blah, 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 and the task was that he had to kiss her, and he said, I'm going to botch it, but it was something to the effect of, I wish I could stop thinking about kissing you.
Mm.
It's pretty good.
Mm.
That's weird. It's a little slightly creepy to me.
It's not like I want to kiss you. That would be off-putting.
Right.
Just, I wish I could stop thinking about kissing you. Somehow he's trying to stop himself, but he can't because you're so attractive.
Right.
Oh. No.
But then his buddy with the 4-foot ponytail and the do-rag and the aviator goggles showed up and the chick was freaked out.
Right.
Mystery.
Like, why didn't it work? Okay.
No, it did work.
Chicks will go for some stuff, though. The first time I kissed a woman that was not my wife, when I was back on the dating circuit, if you will, we were at her house, and she doesn't smoke. God, I wish more chicks smoked. Made my life a lot easier. Although I brush my teeth 15 times a day now. But anyway, we're in her apartment, and I went into her bathroom, and she had scope. And I used her scope, and I came out, and I said, I looked at her, and I said, by the way, if you were ever thinking about kissing me, now would be the time. I just used your scope. And she lunged at me.
Wow.
Dude, some chicks are just waiting. You could say, hey, what time you got? And if that led up to, I really want to make out, they'd do it.
It has to be an opening, but it's not an aggressive opening.
Right. Right.
Well,
but Danny, were you standing in front of the door? Because she could have been...
like, winking at the time?
Trying to...
get out?
All right, I'm just thinking out loud.
No,
yeah, but
I'm
still.
I'm telling you, this chick had been waiting out.
You said she lunged at you.
Right.
Did you have to hold her hands?
With a crocheting needle?
It was like this kiss that was explaining. I said, if you've ever been thinking about kissing me, now would be the time. Yeah. I just use your scope. She was implying, yeah, I've been thinking about this all day. That kiss was.
Up in Northern California, I would walk out of the bathroom and announce that to Adam and his friends.
If you were thinking about it right now, this would be the time.
After I came out of the bathroom, I gave myself a horse bath. Joel, I just gave myself a horse bath.
All right, okay, so this schlub on the pickup artist, he's just pretty happy about how things have gone so far.
So I went from living in a basement with no door, mind you, my parents coming in and out of the garage to pick potatoes up, and the only friends that I had were the friends online in my World of Warcraft log, to coming here. I've learned so much about myself. I'm a totally f***ing different person, man.
Bald Brian was on that show?
Oh, yeah.
You're that nerd.
Was that some sort of Mad Libs sentence?
Yeah, I didn't really.
He lives in a basement with no door, and his parents are coming in. Grabbing potatoes out of the garage, which was confusing. And the only friends he had, surprise, surprise, were on his World of Warcraft.
Mystery helped him.
All right, let's get to the greatest clips of all time.
All right.
On the real world, as we were talking about, a girl got drunk, and she got mad at one of the guys on the real world and threw some water on him.
Mm-hmm.
He then calls her, what was in our teas, a slut.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his apology. To her.
Siobhan, I apologize for calling you a slut. I shouldn't have done that. But I was a little angry. And I didn't mean like you're a slut like that. When I just get up and start yelling at a girl, that's one of the first words that comes out is you're a slut. You're a whore. You're a, Now, there's a bunch of other words that also that I say to girls just to make them pissed off. I just want to apologize because I called you a slut. So you can apologize for pouring water on me whenever you want. Apology accepted. This was a good talk.
Yeah. She's right. The one with the big jugs who was just drowning in her own tears and Dijonais because, again, she got the munchies when she was loaded about 2 a.m.
She's like, look, I call women a lot of other horrible things often.
You know, slut, right, the first thing.
Aside from going into them, so you imply that you're calling her that, I get that. There are things you just say when you're mad at a girl that you say, and slut's top of the list. Whore, way up high on the list. You gotta be really mad and ready to defend yourself to break out the C word. Right. But shy of that, you know, there's certain words that you're, if you're mad at a girl, it's almost mandatory that you say slut.
But I think the point is the apology.
Yeah,
also contain the same words.
And more of them, yeah.
But there's a, you know what's going on that I didn't think used to exist in this, in our society, say, just after World War II, lots of people yelling at people to respect them. Respect me! You were disrespect! You better respect! Like, when you're screaming at someone to respect you, and you have a tat on your right boob, and one of your acrylic nails is busted off, and has killed the dog, and you're screaming at someone, apologize to me. She was screaming at him, apologize to me, apologize. Does it mean that much when someone is threatening you to respect them when you finally go, fine, I respect you, or fine?
Just to get out of the argument.
I apologize. People are supposed to want to apologize and then come up to you and apologize. You're not supposed to be forced to be thrown off the air by Al Sharpton and then you apologize, or forced to be thrown out of the Real World house and then you apologize. Does it mean anything if you break down the essence of the apology, whether it's Don Imus apologizing to the black community or it's just the crazy guy from Real World apologizing from crazy drunken slut or two crazy drunken slut from Real World? Does any of this stuff mean anything when someone is yelling at you to do it?
I will go with partly. Of course, the apology means nothing now because they've been forced to do it. An apology is you've done something egregious to someone, and to whatever level that is, you say, hey man, I'm really sorry about that. That was my bad. Didn't mean it, but please accept my apology. Then if you're forced to do it because I've said something that Joey didn't like and I still stand by it, but Joel's like, he's all in my grill, and now I'm getting in trouble with my boss, and you're a good friend, so now I'm in trouble. Exactly. Like, see, now that we've made enemies, this may actually work out in real life.
That's right. And Joel gets on a mechanic's creeper, gets into Danny's grill.
And he rolls so Adam starts to get mad at me for messing with you. And so now, even though I stand by what I said, I still have to go, okay, man, I'm sorry. There's still a victory there. I've still
lost. A mild one, but it's like when Dr. Drew yelled at his triplets one time when I did some woodwork for them for their little pine box derby contest many years ago. Thank Mr. Carolla for building the pine box car for you. And they're like, Daddy, we already thanked him. Thank him again. But Daddy, we said, thank Adam for helping you. He started screaming at them, thank you. And I was like, Drew,
I'm good.
Yeah. Because when you're physically beating them with a belt, yelling, thank him,
which
and eventually
did, right?
One of them yells, thank you, it just doesn't mean quite as much.
But I think him saying that to, like, forcing his kids to do that when they're 8 is going to help when they're 22.
That's what I'm thinking, to be polite.
And being screamed at by, you know, some...
Hold on a second, Joel. Use your brain. Who enters the Pine Box Derby at age 22? Come on, buddy.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Wow,
all right.
Point.
Do we have...
All right. Here comes the greatest thing you've ever heard. Rita Cosby. Do you remember her from MSNBC? She's got a really husky voice.
Yeah.
Not as crazy as Danny's voice, but pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. What's my rapper name again?
Oh, was it Gruff Diddy?
Gruff Daddy. Okay.
Gruff Daddy?
Right. Not as bad as Gruff Daddy. Okay.
Does
she have the weird glasses, emphysema, too?
No, she's a slightly plumper than you're used to newswoman with a crazy voice and blonde hair.
She talks like this.
I thought she was deaf.
She's got a new book coming out. She got a new book coming out claiming that Larry Burkhead and
Howard K. Stern
were lovers. So she is out pimping this book everywhere. And what we did for the soup, we took the O'Reilly interview she had and the Star Jones interview she had, and the only thing we did was just put them together. Mm-hmm. We do not. You'll hear Bill O'Reilly's voice, and then it'll become Star Jones's voice. But I just want you to hear how Rita Cosby conducts herself in an interview.
Obviously, it's a big book.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
mm-hmm.
It's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Two sources
mm-hmm.
who are going to come in
mm-hmm.
and back up
mm-hmm.
that they were eyewitnesses,
mm-hmm.
not hearsay,
mm-hmm.
then you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah mm-hmm. Opry is mm-hmm. another name that mm-hmm. we see in here. Mm-hmm. You know me. I yeah. believe in going to the facts. Mm-hmm. You wrote it in here. Mm-hmm. Did not meet until the Kentucky Derby mm-hmm. in 2004. Mm-hmm. We know that to mm-hmm. be fact. According to my sources, mm-hmm. wait, is mm-hmm. that who you were? Mm-hmm. Emmy award-winning journalist. Mm-hmm. And you're a sister in the business. Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Wait, you did not alter that.
We did not
way.
Alter that in the slightest. Mm-hmm. I swear to you on my mm-hmm. life, we did not alter that at all. That just hurts. Mm-hmm.
Okay, aside from she should be taken out and shot for being a journalist and only doing it, mm-hmm, she should also be taken out and shot had she answered in sentences because her voice is so annoying.
Yes.
I thought that the only reason that she was on the air during there was some huge emergency news story and we're flipping through the channels and she's got the story, so I'm watching her. And I think maybe she has suffered some damage in an explosion to her ears or something. And there's nothing that, is it CNN she's on?
MSNBC.
MSNBC was on
MSNBC. Can do anything about her because she was injured or something. But she's wrong right there.
Mm.
She's hot, mm-hmm. and she doesn't mm-hmm. move, and coming up next on the news. Shut up,
no,
dude.
I don't know.
Still,
I like the affirmation. You know, right.
Everything I mean, they say.
Yeah, it's like, it just says I'm listening very
we'll
intently.
Make fun of her, but we could. You know, I'll tell you what I like. You ever turn on a little Japanese TV mm-hmm. and you watch some news, and the one guy's delivering the sumo score, and the guy's next to him is just going, "Hey, hey, 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 hey." And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It lets you know about every 4.3 seconds that they're listening.
You're go. Right. It's going well.
But the mm-hmm. anchor's not asking the guy next to him about the sumo points.
Well, maybe you're right, but I would like it used with cell phone conversations because I've now completed 1,000 hours of speaking to nobody when the cell phone dropped off.
Yes.
Because yeah. I've done a little of this. I've yes. done this a million times. Let me tell you a little something about life. Then the phone cuts off, but I don't know. And then 20 minutes later,
or your phone rings.
I'm
in your
going
own ear,
into like... minute 21, going, "Yeah, they can kick Ace Man when he's down, but they can't, huh?" Hello,
Adam. It's Joel. What were you saying?
I just drove to Vegas telling you about life.
Well, yeah,
what?
You said something about no. the story and meaning of life, and then I dropped you.
I was just telling. I'm dropping your sweatshirt.
I
off
was dropped
your house.
Off before I got on the freeway. Been in traffic yeah. for 11 hours.
Yeah, you started.
Oh, good Christ! Now the point is, if Joel was Japanese, I'd be like, "Let me tell you a little something about life, brother."
Hey.
Oh, they can keep you down. Hey. They can kick you. Hey. They can tell you you're not worthy.
Hey.
But you don't have to listen.
Hi.
There you go.
And you would never drop out.
I swear I've now completed 1,000 hours of talking to someone who wasn't there.
And it's goddamn embarrassing.
And it's my
fun to do,
best
isn't it,
stuff.
Joel?
It is great.
All right. Joel.
Thank you.
Oh, say hi. Joel McHale, everyone.
My husband's a metrosexual.
Host
is that what
of
I sound
the
like?
Soup on E. That was sped
you
up.
You know what you
New
sound like?
Network
a
show.
Network primetime star.
Hey, that's right.
Oh, dude, the real
deal.
The It Factor.
Fridays, 10 o'clock. Watch the It guy of 07. No, the IT Factor?
Hey, yeah, it? Thanks for once again
IT.
Promoting the IT Crowd.
Crowd.
IT Crowd. When it's going to air when?
I don't know yet. It's a mid-season replacement.
Okay.
My guess is it'll be around in January.
NBC.
NBC. And, of course, The Soup on E.
Thanks
tonight.
For more promotion than he has ever done for the show.
Well, they spend all their time and energy on Seacrest. You
That's
know
true.
That. We'll take a quick break back with the news, T.
If you, yeah. No, keep doing it. If you have an iPhone
hey.
Or need an iPhone,
hey.
You will want to hear this.
Hey.
And how does Jessica Alba feel about sex about the first on the first date?
Hi.
And what happens after you smoke pot?
Hi. We'll be back.
Hi. And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
And meet the man who has one grandchild for every year of his life. And believe us, this guy's no spring chicken.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Bet that guy plays a hell of a blues guitar. Hey, T.
Yep.
How about the news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Remember when iPhones were all the talk? You had to wait in line to get one. They were like $599. Well, you know, the price of the iPhone just dropped by $200. So some people over at Apple started to get nervous that the geeks were going to riot because they just bought this thing and it Brian.
Sorry, my girlfriend actually bought one and she's pissed.
Well,
she bought
listen, one a month ago. This is what I'm saying. I'd be angry too, but there's good news. Because now, Apple CEO Steve Jobs has announced that anyone who bought one of the original iPhones for $599 is going to get a $100 credit toward the purchase of any product at an Apple retail store or Apple online.
That's going to drop $200 in the next 2 weeks after you buy it?
Right. I know. I mean, I was thinking, oh, I really want one. And everybody who has one seems to love their iPhone.
Look, here's, again, the problem in life. You want to get everything first, and whether it's a car or whether it's a piece of technology, it's going to be cheaper and better, hopefully not 2 weeks from now,
so
but
fast.
A year from now. But the time is speeding up.
Yeah.
It used to be, if you bought yourself a big screen color TV, you were the belle of the ball for a couple of years before the next bigger, better, cheaper model came out. Now you got about 14 hours before the next bigger, better, cheaper model comes out,
and
you feel like an ass.
I remember distinctly spending almost $5,000 on my first VCR, which was the size of a Buick,
right,
and played these gigantic tapes. But one that happens really fast was the ballpoint pen. When it came out, was almost $20.
Really?
Yeah. And now you get a pack of what, 20 for $1.99?
You are dating yourself, Bonaducci. No,
I wasn't there, dude.
I used to get and ink for three shillings.
I remember back when you could get somebody to start a fire for you. Now, here's the thing. If you're Apple, how do you stop customers from not buying the product right when it launches? Because they're concerned about stuff like this. You do exactly this. You give them a rebate. And they've also written a letter saying, our early customers trusted us, and we must live up to that trust with our actions in moments like this. By the way, this is the full letter is posted on Apple's website and details on how to get your $100 credit.
So what you're saying is how do you prevent people from sitting on their wallets for a couple of weeks saying the price is going to come down? Yeah, I don't know. As long as there's buzz, there's going to be people in line.
Yeah.
Like every time a big movie comes out on a Friday, there's a line around the block at 8 o'clock on a Friday. And I say to everyone as I drive past the line, I want to see that movie too. I'm going to wait till Sunday and I'll see the 3 p.m. showing and there'll be no line. Yet there's a line every single week, every single month, every single blockbuster, year in and year out. And I say, who's stupid enough? Bald Brian, by the way, is one of the folks that's stupid enough to go see Transformers tonight. It comes out, it seems like there'll always be someone for that line.
The worst example I think, and this will only matter to people here in Los Angeles, but Pink's Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
It's a hot dog stand by any standards in any town. Just think of your local hot dog stand.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very nice to me, so I'm not putting them down. But I used to just think they must add addictive drugs to their hot dogs.
Long line.
I've seen more, I would think, more than 100 people deep at a hot dog stand.
Yes.
More than 100 people, wouldn't you? Honestly, not exaggerating.
No.
Doesn't something seem bizarre? If Jesus was making the second coming at the end of a line of 1,000 people, I'd ask somebody up front to tell me what it was like and then go home and watch TV.
Right.
You can't make me stand in line. And if you don't have to, if you can go, it's Friday night at 8, I think I'll wait till Sunday at noon. That's the only reasonable thing to do. But Apple asking people, how do we stop our customers from buying right away? That sounds like really stupid business. What you do is you let them spend any way they want, and then you do something really smart, like send out this letter saying, thank you for trusting us, here's a rebate. That's good business.
Yeah.
You don't want to purposely stop your customers from buying.
Well, I think that was twisted a little in T's delivery. Am I correct? They want to know how to prevent people from waiting on a buy.
Right. In other words, you don't want to launch a product and have everyone say, in 2 weeks, this thing's going to dip down $200.
Right,
why don't I wait? You want the lines around the corner like they have.
Oh, okay. I got you back.
Got a little spun around. It's one of these. Oh, who cares? Let's keep going.
Sorry about that.
Whatever way we say.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still. I'll try to make this one more clear.
That could have been me.
Now, We all get up before 5 a.m., I assume. Yeah. I know that I do. And if you're out there and you regularly get up before 5 a.m., according to a recent study, not only does it feel bad, it's actually bad for your health.
Mm-hmm.
They studied more than 3,000 healthy adults, and they found that people who regularly get up before 5 a.m. had a greater risk of heart conditions, including hypertension and strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Even if you get up to run errands or even to exercise, it's still bad for your heart.
Now, imagine how this is for your heart. You get up at 4 in the morning every day of your life so you can give half the money you earn to a woman who hates you.
I'm about to blow a butt.
You know, you wake up, you smoke 3 cigarettes right there in bed, and then you drag yourself to work before it's light out to give half your dough to a woman who hates you.
Danny.
Luckily, I have no heart.
Danny's got a clock alarm he bought with Marlboro Miles.
Are you kidding? I've got a guy that tells me what time it is.
You bought the Marlboro Man.
I bought the Marlboro
guy
Man.
Wearing a Stetson hat and boots and chaps is standing there and he's woken with a puff of smoke.
His Marlboro iron lung is on its way in the mail.
Yeah, we should get hazardous duty pay. Look, they always do that thing where they talk about stress being a killer and all that kind of stuff. How about dread being a killer? Because everyone who has an alarm that goes off in the wee hours of the morning, unless they're just one of these nut jobs who goes to bed at 8 o'clock the night before while it's still light outside, has that little feeling around 10 o'clock at night of that alarm's going to go off. Yeah. It's going to be dark outside.
Hi.
I'm not going to be in a great mood. There's a little ounce of dread that runs through you before you go to bed. It's the dread before your head.
It's true.
Hits
it's never.
The bed.
It's never as bad as the dread makes it feel. It's gonna
right.
Be.
But I think the dread is what shaves.
That's what kills you.
The years off the list.
So too.
Then not going to bed at 10 and going and now it's 11, and you go, okay, if I go to sleep now,
yeah, I start.
And then it's midnight, and you know, 4 hours.
Right. Yeah.
And then at 1, because 4 hours, I'm still okay. I'm not terrified.
Right.
At 3 hours of sleep, I know my day's gonna suck. And then I'm full of dread.
Well, when I started this job, I made a deal with myself that I would allow myself one complaint per day about getting up early. Otherwise, it was just gonna get annoying and boring to everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's up to 2.
Really,
I try to spread them out.
You have those conversations with yourself?
Yeah. Because I don't want to be like, yeah, well, you were up at 8? Really? I was up at 4. I don't want to be that person. I'm so grateful for this job that I allow myself one complaint per day.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to be even more tedious than I already am.
Put 4 zeros behind that 1.
Yeah.
You have the number that I've allowed myself each day. Well, that's just on the way to work.
See, on the way to work is when I get cured. I get up and I think this is horrifying and unfair, and then I see a line of people waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and I think I am golden, man. Life is gravy.
Mm.
I'm riding either my Harley Davidson or my.
Mm.
Well, that's it. I don't have a car anymore.
Oh yeah.
But I see guys waiting for the bus in by the dozen.
Yeah.
At 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I think, okay, life's gravy.
I'm kind of the same way, though. I take it a step further. I urinate into a fire extinguisher and let him have it. And it makes me feel even. Then I yell, take that, little man. Yeah.
Well, little man David Letterman talked
don't
to Jeff.
Don't you ever wonder if somebody out there just really takes you seriously, just hates you?
No, hey, they don't.
You see that?
I know they don't.
You see that blue Lambo? You hear 12 cylinders coming about 5:30 in the morning, little man? That's Ace Man. He's got a golden present for you.
When we sat here and read your W-2 form or whatever it was,
yeah.
I'm sitting here. I don't consider myself the new guy anymore. I guess that was the last day I really considered myself still kind of new. And I just went, are they going to lynch him? When he gets outside, are people who get up and work all day, and everybody I spoke to found it inspirational.
Yeah.
Every single person.
Thank
except
you.
Except me.
I will spare
them. I
wanted
you dead.
If they're waiting at the bus stop. If you guys, I'll tell you this, T, I know we got to take a break.
Yeah.
We got more news to get to. I'll make you people this deal. The little folks that wait at the bus stop will get hit. Every morning at 5:35 with a heaping helping of the Ace Man's urine.
You think they learn by now?
You think they would learn?
If they could learn, they would be on buses at 4 in the morning.
But I'll tell you what. When you hear the 12 cylinders coming and you see my assistant roll the sunroof, when he opens the sunroof and you know it's time for your shower, if you, there's a handful of the people, the righteous, who do listen to the show, who don't take offense to me. If you guys will wear those orange traffic cones on your head, yeah. I'll know who you are, and I'll do my best. I can't promise anything, but I'll do my best to have my assistant miss you.
Okay.
Wow. Okay? I'll make That's you nice. That promise.
That beats wearing this giant full-body condom.
So don't ever say I'm not a man of the people,
no.
Bonaducci.
I would never.
Some of the people. Well, listen, when we come back, I'll tell you how Jessica Alba feels about sex on the first date.
Mm.
But now we have to go.
I don't want to, again, I'm not looking. I'm not looking for any handouts from you people, but those of you who are complaining about the fire extinguisher, count your lucky stars, because I tried to drop a deuce in that baby and it clogged the nozzle.
You're right.
So you were this close.
Yeah. Wow.
This close. Hi. Consider yourself blessed that it's only number one, little people. All right. Now, you guys get back to work at whatever decrepit factory you're in. I'm going to go have a cup of Columbia's Best, and we'll be back to sit around and listen to the sound of my own voice next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania. A 22-year-old woman who was imprisoned for manufacturing and distributing crack cocaine gave birth to a daughter in her prison cell. Definitely not a Jew.
Quickly, before we get back to the news, I did a little soul searching. I don't know if we have the music to go along with it, but the Ace Man did a little soul searching about what he said last break about the little people.
Yeah.
I took a look in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw.
Danny was behind you?
Couldn't see Danny behind me. I went out. Went out to the parking garage. I took a little walk, breathed a little fresh air, and as I watched little Molly doing her business,
your dog,
into my assistant Jay's hand, I thought to myself, you know what? I got to be more respectful of other people.
Yeah.
I really do. By the way, Jay, you can put that down.
You made him hold it?
No. Well, I didn't want him to just throw it out in the parking lot. I keep my car
That's
out
rude.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want him detailing the car with the hand he uses on Molly.
What does he do when she has to pee?
Cup.
Oh. Wow.
Or sometimes just a big yawn.
Oh, no.
And a mechanic's creeper. Wow. Okay, T.
Yeah.
The news, baby girl.
David Letterman gave Jessica Alba a Cosmo quiz on his show last night. Here, he asks her a question about sex.
I think sex on the first date is...
fine.
Fine. You said that sort of unenthusiastically, like... fine. It's like getting a good parking place. Fine.
Sometimes a good parking place is better.
That's witty.
That's a good answer.
For Jessica Alba.
A little bit. Yeah, for her.
Yeah.
For her.
Do you want to know where Paris Hilton's going to be in 5 years, where she sees herself?
Is it really dark and or hot?
It'd be nice.
Here it is from Extra.
Definitely doing more philanthropy work and having my own children. And
more what work?
3 or 4 kids.
I think she meant to say philanthropy.
Oh.
Well, I got to hear it again.
Definitely doing more philanthropy work and having my own children and 3 or 4 kids.
In 5 years, she's going to have 3 or 4 kids.
Sure.
Philanthropy.
Right.
Work.
And really, three kids in 5 years,
That's
she's going to
be tough.
She's going to have to get busy.
Yeah.
She can mm-hmm.
Well, listen, let's cleanse the palate with somebody more intelligent. Jessica Molly. Simpson talks about filming her new movie, Major Movie Star, on which I think she broke her nose or hurt it.
Yeah.
It hurt. It hurt. That's all I know is that I hurt my nose. I love my nose, and it's what it is, and I will not change it.
It is what it is.
That's right. And her young sister, who can't sing to save her life,
Ashley,
and who formerly had a big beak, now has a small nose, although every time they talk to her about getting a nose job, she's like, well, you draw your own conclusions, because I don't know.
I can't say.
Yeah, here's the beauty. We have things called cameras, and we have tons of pictures of you with the big bent beak, and now the one where you look like somebody drew a pixie in the 60s. That's what her nose looks like now. So thus, you don't need to answer the question. I don't know why we need to talk to Star Jones, who was morbidly obese since kindergarten and then dropped 250 pounds in 10 days, whether she got the stomach stapling surgery or whether we need to ask Ashley Simpson whether she got the beak job, when it's very easy for society to do the math. But yes, I appreciate them denying it.
I do too. I'm Teresa Strasser with my original beak, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. When we return, I heard some news this morning on CNN that I found alarming. It had to do with preteen suicide with girls. I didn't even know preteen girls committed suicide. I had no idea. It saddened me just to hear that. And then how they committed suicide, overtaking the other method they used to use to commit suicide, was like alarming, and I almost couldn't believe it if I didn't see it with my own eyes. So I will tell you all about that story next on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Hey, hey, hey. Yep. This is Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Yeah, you're rocking on the Adam Carolla Show. Crank it up.
Nothing that I'd expect a rock and roller to say.
Crank it up.
Crank it up. Hey, everybody. All right. Now, where was we? A little bit of time left. Was watching CNN this morning. Saw on the crawl. Although I can't watch the news and read the crawl.
Really?
Not really. I can't let them both in. I either focus on what's going on the screen, or I look down and focus on the crawl. I don't get them both. I know I have two eyeballs, but only one brain.
Right.
Nay, half a brain. And it doesn't work. I'd like them to get rid of the crawl. They do a lot of crawling on a lot of shows now. It used to just be the news crawl with the financial report.
Right.
Now, when you turn it on E and you're trying to watch, you know, attractive women of color beat the crap out of each other over a guy with a cuckoo clock hanging around his neck, they have this stupid crawl going along the bottom of what's coming up next, and it bumps me. One thing I did catch on the crawl this morning is that the suicide rate among preteen, and I guess that means anyone under 12 or 13, and teenage girls rose to its highest level in a decade. Sad. And here's the part that surprised me. What do you think the number one way they kill themselves is? T, Danny?
Now, is this the new way or the old?
Well, it's the new way that passed the old ways, the preferred method of suicide.
Were they jumping off buildings or bridges or overdosing?
No.
Oh, wait.
No jumping, but the ODing is a good call.
And so is, I believe, the slitting of the wrist, but usually somebody saves you. So if we're actually going for actual deaths, and usually you also get saved from an overdose.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the new way as hanging.
You would be right on. Hanging, and it surpassed guns.
I don't see young women using guns.
Well,
I don't see young women hanging themselves. I got lucky, if you will, on that guess.
I'm with Danny, though. If you do the wrist slit thing so your step monster can find you about the time you know she's coming home from work, that is a cry for help or a cry for somebody to do something.
I hate to admit, but
I've
actually
done dying. You're sending a message. But if you use a gun, you're dead, and thus will count you amongst the successful folks. You were successful in your very last endeavor here on Earth, everybody.
Right.
I will say that about you.
Because
whereas all us who don't kill ourselves, we were unsuccessful. We were trying to beat cancer or live till Tuesday, and it turns out Monday got us.
Right. If I ever hear somebody say with a straight face, and you want to be kind to a person sad enough to even say this, and that was the first time I tried to kill myself. If you can't complete that task, you should kill yourself. Because there's no easier job. Like, if they said...
Right. Well, well, sort of. But does anyone... Do you ever have... Man, it's a good idea for a TV movie. But have you ever had this fantasy? I call it a fantasy, but it's really just more of a bizarre thought. If somebody said to you, you need to kill yourself in the next 3 minutes, otherwise you'll die. You're just sitting in your living room or you're driving your car or you're sitting here at work and somebody said, you have 3 minutes. If you do not successfully stop your heart in the next 3 minutes, you will be dead. I know it sounds like I'm saying the same thing, but if you can complete this in under 3 minutes, you'll live.
Ah, I got
if
you.
If not, you're going to, you'll die.
Off the top of your head, could you do it? Within, you got 180 seconds, go. Can you do it?
I would immediately race into Jack Silver's office.
And ask for more money?
I'd say we're both going, Bobs. I'm taking you with me. I always swore I'd take Jack with me. No, I would probably run up to the top of the parking structure dive head first into anything that seemed hard. Well, it's except for the part where if you don't successfully pull it off, you'll die in my weird, twisted fantasy. It runs through my head every once in a while. It's a fun little game to play, especially on road trips with the kids.
By the way,
I sounds like you have mental problems.
I played it
in
my entire 20s.
Right. Now, here's the problem. You think it's easy, but you're driving along in your car and you say, all right, I would just steer into oncoming traffic. You your airbag goes off and you're left in a coma, in which case you die.
Yeah. Right.
You technically have to stop your heart.
Right.
Maybe give yourself 10 minutes, but make it fun.
I think, I brought the bike today because I am carless.
Yeah.
I'm trying to drive that point home.
Mm-hmm.
I have no car. I think I'd get on the Harley, and I'm sorry about the people I would take with me, but I would, in under 3 minutes, I think I could be downstairs on Wilshire doing 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then just go to, hopefully, just the first solid object and not have to go head-on into a car. Because that would probably scar the people in the car forever to have me fly into their car and die.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I think within 3 minutes, I can be in a fatal motorcycle accident.
I would put my head in the oven like Sylvia Plath
not
and
a chance
peacefully go away.
3 minutes, baby.
It would take longer?
Yeah, it'd be one of these things
to get that thing heated up.
Be one of these things where you passed out, but you technically had a heartbeat or something at the end of 3 minutes, in which case, I'd have to kill you.
And
pull her head out of the oven. I'm going to kill her.
The size of space in a normal oven and the size of your head leaves so much room for oxygen. This would take all day. It's more likely that your house would blow up.
I am just saying it would be a frantic 3 minutes of you running around your house, grabbing a steak knife, like looking at it, throwing it down, running into the garage, looking for like some tool you could drive through your temple and then realizing you probably wouldn't have the power to do it, running up to the roof and... It'd just be a crazy, crazy sick game that we should play with either death row folks or the homeless.
Now, what if it was 1 minute from now and Teresa was gone and we were not allowed to leave the room and the game was you have to finish
Danny
in 3 minutes or you'll die?
Could you do it? How long do I have to finish?
You have 3 minutes. But it's really me and Brian standing in the room with you.
And Molly.
We're watching.
Done and done.
Oh yeah, because
don't act like I haven't done it before.
I was just thinking about that. He is my employer. I'd help him in any way possible.
Brian, hand me the scalp wax. Stack.
I need it. All right.
Well, very sad that the preteen girls are hanging themselves, but it spawned an interesting conversation.
Don't ever play this game with Gretchen. Her mom fell out a window, and her grandfather hung himself.
Good times.
Good times.
There goes this weekend. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up. Thanks, Danny.
Don't tell them that. I'm negotiating right now.
I want to give Danny and I just have a nice conversation during the break. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due before we pack it in here for the week. I want to thank Kira Sedgwick.
Hi.
The Closer. Everyone, Monday nights, 9 p.m. Don't watch. She's got enough viewers for that show. James Brolin.
Hi.
The Hunting Party. Good guy and evidently a good movie. Got Terrence Howard, Richard Gere in it.
Hi.
They ain't exactly chop liver. Wayne Root, the handicapper. That's right. He'll break your legs if you don't know. WinningEdge.com is where you go to get all the lines on all the football games coming up this week. Also, Joel McHale, the soup. tonight. Height, 10 p.m. on E! And our own Teresa Strasser. Height, height! Completing the entertainment trifecta. TV Water Cooler tonight, 8 p.m. on TV Guide. And until next time, Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I like big butts and I cannot lie.